If you're among the millions struggling with peripheral neuropathy, I ask you to listen up. Hi, this is Marty Terrell from Sports Overnight America here on Sports Byline Broadcast. As you heard me say, peripheral neuropathy, I've struggled with it. It's annoying. And if untreated, it can really cause some health problems. Now, the bottom line is I reached out to Innovative Wellness, Christy and Andrew Steiger in particular, at InnovativeWellness.Center of Clive, Iowa. They're now gaining clients from all over the Midwest because shockwave therapy, which they prescribed for me, and I did it in a consistent fashion, I got appreciable, verifiable results. Life is better. InnovativeWellness.Center. Peripheral neuropathy is very annoying and can be very, very serious if left untreated. Check it out. InnovativeWellness.Center. Christy Steiger, Andrew Steiger, InnovativeWellness.Center.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host Ron Barr.
And wherever you might be across this great country of ours and around the world, I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you back here on America's Sports Talk Show. The Olympics beginning to wind down, and I've got the latest numbers on the fan poll question. We've left this up for the entire time the Olympics have been going on. Will the U.S. men's Olympic basketball team win the gold medal? 89% of you saying yes. And 11% of you don't think they are going to win it. So check it out. It's on the homepage at sportsbyline.com. Speaking of the Olympics, the United States women's national basketball team continued its dominance with an 88-74 win over Nigeria in the quarterfinals. Team USA has now won 59 Olympic games in a row, and its quest for an historic eighth consecutive gold medal will continue with a semifinal matchup against Australia, that game to be played on Friday. Team USA's track and field exploits continued with Quincy Hall's finishing kick propelling him to the men's 400-meter gold, and Kenneth Rooks coming from behind to take the silver in the men's 3,000-meter steeplechase. Katie Moon took silver in the women's pole vault. The United States continued to rack up the medals. The U.S. remains far ahead of the total medal count with 94. China is second with 65. The U.S. also maintained the outright lead for gold medals with 27. That's two ahead of China's 25. And the United States also leads the way in silvers with 35 and bronzes with 32. And the United States entered these games with the most medals ever won in the Summer Olympics. We're going to spend the hour talking with a Hall of Famer. Juan Marichal is going to join us, all-star major leaguer who pitched 15 seasons for the Giants, also for the Red Sox, Dodgers. He appeared in 10 all-star games, was named the MVP of the all-star game in the 65 edition of the Midsummer Classic, and in 1983 he was inducted into the Hall. He ended his career with 243 wins, 142 losses, a 2.89 ERA, and 2,303 strikeouts, and he pitched a no-hitter when he beat the Houston Astros 1-0. That will get you into the Hall of Fame. I've known Marichal for a long time, and I think you're going to find this hour interesting about his life and career. So we're ready to go. Good to have you with us on Sports Byline.
School is almost here, and if there's two things I can count on, it's my kids needing new outfits because they grow like weeds, and Kohl's stocking their favorite styles. With the back-to-school customer appreciation event going on, I scored 30% off tees, jeans, sneakers, and more when I shopped with a Kohl's card. No card? No problem. Rewards members save 20%, and everyone else saves 15%, plus earn Kohl's cash. When it comes to back-to-school, you gotta go back to Kohl's. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Offer ends August 11th. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Lowe's is here for you after the storm. From safety products and cleanup supplies, Lowe's is fully stocked with essentials. Now through September 11th, get 12-month special financing on an in-store purchase of $299 or more with your My Lowe's Rewards credit card in select stores only. Lowe's knows recovery. Lowe's knows community. Subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats too. Your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. And look at you, hands perfectly placed on the wheel. Not like the driver to the right of you who's really going after that drum solo. Save with DriveWise on the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family-owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built. Providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below-grade lightweight geofoam fill, Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr. Juan Marichal joins us on Sports Byline, Hall of Fame pitcher, 16 years in the majors, 14 with the San Francisco Giants, a year with Boston, and also finishing up his career with the Dodgers. And he won more games during the decade of the 60s, 191, than any other major league pitcher. He pitched a no-hitter. He threw 244 complete games. He led the National League twice in shutouts, throwing 10 of them back in 1965. And he was involved in arguably the greatest game ever pitched involving him and also Milwaukee Braves Hall of Famer Warren Spahn. And it's part of a great book called The Greatest Game Ever Pitched, Juan Marichal, Warren Spahn, and the Pitching Duel of the Century. Let me start out taking you back to the Dominican Republic. There has always been such a wonderful connection between baseball and the Dominican Republic. What's the history of that? What's the essence of that love affair between the Dominican Republic and baseball, Juan?
Well, we love the game of baseball in my country. Those days, you know, the kid wanted to become a baseball player. Today, I think they have a good reason why they want to become a baseball player, because they can make so much money and their life can change from night and day. When I signed my first contract as a professional baseball player, I got $500 bonus. Today, some kid from Dominican Republic, 16 years old, can get $4.6 million. So you can tell the difference. Also, baseball is number one sport in Dominican Republic. Everybody wants to play the game. You go to Winter League in Dominican, you go to the Caribbean Series, either with Dominican, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, or Mexico. In those countries, baseball is like bread and butter, you know, and we love the game and we love to play it. And that's why you see today so many great players from our country, so many prospects in the minor league, and so many superstars.
Tell me about your first baseball glove. Do you remember it?
Yes, that was made of some material that was very, very funny, you know, because most of the players there at that time, at that level, we don't make glove. We make that kind of first base mitt, and this is how we learn how to catch the ball, because we can't afford to buy a glove or a bat, even a baseball. We used to make our own baseball. And bats, we used to climb in the trees and cut a branch and let it dry, and we make our own bats. And this is how we learned how to play the game.
Take me out on the field as a kid growing up. What were those ball games like in the Dominican Republic among the kids?
Crazy. Crazy. Oh, yes. A lot of rivalry. You know, we take the game so serious that when I played for the Dominican Air Force in my country, one time we went to my hometown to face a team in Monte Cristi, and we lost a doubleheader. That Air Force team was owned by Trujillo's son, Ramfis. And Trujillo was a big dictator in Dominican Republic. So we lost that doubleheader. We came back to the city. Ramfis ordered a commission to go investigate in Monte Cristi why we had lost a doubleheader. So until they came back, they threw everybody, the whole team, in jail. The manager got 30 days, and all the players got 5 days. So that's how serious they take the game in our country.
And the story is, did you pitch against his team, beat them 2-1, and then he liked you so much, he wanted you on the team, and you had to enlist in the Air Force at the same time?
A year before that happened, I faced the Air Force team. I beat him 2-1, and the next day was the lieutenant in the door, knocking on the door with a telegram that say, be at the Air Force right away. So, oh, my God, I took that telegram to my mother, and she didn't know what to say. So about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the same lieutenant came back with another telegram that read the same, and she said, well, son, you can't say no to those people.
Tell me how you got scouted by the Giants. How did you end up getting signed?
Well, this man, he used to play baseball at the Negro League team. One of those teams was owned by Alex Pompez, a gentleman that worked for the Giants as a scout for Latin America. And he named this man Horacio Martinez a bird dog in our country. And he started looking for players, and he ended up signing the Alou brothers, myself, Dennis Rivas, Elias Sosa. He became one of the biggest or better scouts in our country, and that's how I became a Giant.
What did you know about San Francisco?
At that time, nothing.
I mean, I can understand. And how old were you when you signed with the Giants?
18. Just the date, I signed September 16 of 1957, so was a few days. My birthday is October 20th, so it was about 20 days before I reached the 18.
And so you leave the Dominican Republic, and where did you come to in the United States?
The first stop was Sanford, Florida, where the Giants have the minor league camp. I spent like a month and a half there. Then from there, I went to Michigan City, Indiana, Class D, where I pitched 245 innings. I strike out 246. I went 21 games in the regular season, 2 in the playoff. I ended up with 1.87 ERA. I think I won all the pitching department that year. So the following year, they moved me to Class A.
One of the things that I've heard from Orlando, your teammate and fellow Hall of Famer, and from other players that came from the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, when they came to the United States back in the 60s, it was like culture shock. And even the story is that you were very, very homesick, that you almost went back to the Dominican Republic. How hard was that transition for you, Juan?
Very hard, very hard. You know, I left my country for the first time. My mother, my sister, and 2 brothers. I came to spring training, and let me tell you, I was shocked when I got to Sanford, Florida, because I didn't know about the racial problem in this country. So I said to myself, I couldn't believe it. The greatest country in the world have this difference with human beings. And I almost went back because of that.
What was the first time you ever ran into racism?
right there in Sanford, but and driving all the way from Florida to Michigan City, we had to ride in the last seat of the bus, right in the back. And was my manager's name was Buddy Kerr, a guy that played baseball for many years for the Giants. And he became like a father to four black on the team and three Latin. Every time we stopped for gas or for food, he was sure that we got something to eat. So he used to take us from the back of the restaurant through the kitchen to have something to eat. And I never forget that. I think that stopped my intention to go back home and forget about baseball.
How hard was it to play the game when you had these type of distractions? Because, A, you're young. B, you're in a foreign country almost in a sense. And you're trying to perform, and yet you've got to deal with all of this.
When I was on the mound, I forgot everything about it. Everything. I just want to do good. I prepare myself physical, mentally, to do good on the field. And I think that's why I made it. Because I play the game to win. And I think everybody that play any sport should play to win and never give up. And I was that type of person, you know. I sacrificed myself for my career.
Orlando told me one time that a lot of the Caribbean players learned English by watching television. Was that true?
Well, when I came to the state, I can hardly say that a glass of water. I remember going to a restaurant, and I used to look to a different table to see if I see some plate that I might like. So I used to point to that table and tell the waiters. I think the first words that I learned was same, same, same. I used to point to the plate and I say same, same. So that way to know what I want. So it was very hard. But the way I learned little English was I bought a English and Spanish dictionary, and in the bench, I used to sit with near some American player that I can hear them talk, and I can learn more by talking to Philippe or Mario or Jesus, because when we were together, we only talked Spanish.
Juan Marichal is with us in the studio. The Dominican Dandy, that was his nickname. The Hall of Fame pitcher, 16 years in the majors. We'll talk more about his outstanding career as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family, take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Juan Marichal is with us on Sports Byline. We're talking with a Hall of Fame pitcher about his outstanding career. What about your style of pitching, that high leg kick? Did you develop that as a kid? Because it stayed with you all throughout your career. Where did that come from, Juan?
Well, when I started to pitch, I went to a town named Monte Cristo, my near hometown, and I saw this man pitch named Bombo Ramos. He used to play for the national team in Dominican Republic. So when I saw him pitch, he became my idol, and I wanted to be a pitcher like him. And he used to throw like Don Drysdale, nothing but sidearm. So I started to imitate him. And my first 2 years as amateur, I pitched nothing but sidearm. I came to United States. My first year was sidearm. And my second year, right before the season was over, Andy Gerber came up to me one day. Andy Gerber was my manager. So he came up to me one day and said, "When? Why did you pitch like that?" I said, "Well, that's how I learned. I don't want to go through the story about Bombo Ramos." So, but then he kept asking me questions, so I had to tell him about Bombo Ramos. So I said, "Andy, was a pitcher in my hometown named Bombo Ramos. I used to pitch sidearm, and I saw him pitch one afternoon, and I fell in love with his style. And he became my idol. That's why I throw like that." So he said, "Do you want to learn how to throw overhands?" I said, "What would be the benefit if I do learn?" He said, "Well, you will be much better pitcher against left-handed hitters." Right away, I said, "Yes, I want to learn." So he took me to the bullpen with two baseball and a catcher, and I tried to start to throw the ball overhands. I never did it before. So at the same time, it seemed impossible to do it without kicking my leg. And that day, that leg high kick started thanks to Andy Gerber.
Did anybody coach you along the way when you came in? I mean, you were pretty much set in your style. And the one thing you were certainly known for, aside from the high leg kick, was your pinpoint accuracy. I mean, you didn't walk very many people. And I'm just wondering, when you came into professional baseball in this country, did people try to tinker with your pitching motion?
Well, I got a few tips from my oldest brother when I was pitching in Dominican Republic. Then when I went to the team, the Air Force team, was a coach there named Francisco Pichardo. We call him Viruta. And on a rainy afternoon or rainy day that we didn't play ball, he used to take all the pitchers to the mound. And he used to throw the ball with such a pinpoint control. And he used to tell every pitcher, he'd say, "Do you know, I don't have too much speed, but if you can throw the ball on that spot, you can pitch anywhere in the world." And you know, he was right, because after I learned how to pitch, and I tried to copy what he say, you know, to throw the ball in the spot where the hitter don't hit it with too much power, and try to hit the catcher gloves, I think you're gonna end up being a great pitcher.
You had a deadly combination, the high leg kick, but you also, did you not, throw from different positions with your arm, overhand, sidearm, three-quarter arm, and that combination, I would think, would really throw off the rhythm of the hitter. Was that by design, Juan?
Well, I heard that from many hitters, you know, after they faced me. After I learned how to throw overhands, I have the chance to go overhand, three-quarter, sidearm. Like, sometimes when I got a right-handed hitter in two strikes, I used to drop down and throw a sidearm because I know that the right-handed hitter didn't like that style. They don't like the ball that came from that direction. So I think I have the advantage of by learning how to throw overhand, and now I can go three ways. One time a writer say that I control 13 different pitches. So I think I only control five, but I think he was talking about all the direction, all the way that I used to throw, overhand, three-quarter, sidearm. So you can count a different pitcher. You can throw fastball, sidearm, fastball, three-quarter, and fastball, overhands, and the rotation on the ball is different.
You made a very impressive debut in the major leagues, July 19th, 1960, Philadelphia Phillies. Tell me about the game.
Well, I come up in July 10, and Tom Sheehan was the manager. And he come up to me and say, Juan, you got to be prepared for July 19. You're gonna face the Philadelphia Phillies. You're going to pitch that day. In between, I just want you to throw batting practice. So I was getting ready, you know, for that day, and the day went by, and July 19 come up, and I was ready for that game. I remember throwing the ball in the bullpen, and they was announcing the lineup. When they come up to my name, I guess good people, you know, and I feel funny. After they mention my name, I feel very funny, and I say, if I feel this way, I don't think I'm going to be able to pitch. So I went to the mound. I threw the seven regular throw that they allow you to do on the mound before every inning, and I still feel the same way. But when I saw the leadoff batter, everything went away. And I was able to throw the ball, and lucky enough, I pitched one hitter.
For everybody, it was a one-hit shutout. He only walked one, and he struck out 12. What was the pitch that Clay Dalrymple hit?
You know, Tom Sheehan and Orlando Cepeda, he was my interpreter. So they came up to the mound, and they pinch hit Clay Dalrymple, you know, and they say that, this guy's a pretty good fastball hitter, so don't throw him nothing but curveball. So the first pitch I threw, he hit one over the second base, and that was the only hit. But I followed the rule. I threw what they told me to throw, but it didn't work.
You mentioned about the game being different, and certainly a part of the game when you were pitching, Juan, was intimidation by the pitchers. I mean, Bob Gibson was a very intimidating pitcher. You were a very intimidating pitcher. It seems like it was a dichotomy to your personality. You were an easygoing, lovable type of guy. How did you pick up the intimidation factor?
Well, I learned through the years and watching other pitchers like those guys you mentioned, Gibson, Drysdale, that you have to learn how to throw in and out. And if you're throwing two pitches outside, you have to show that hitter that you can come in. And because if you pitch one way, I think they can get you. But if you make those hitters think a little bit, they don't know where the next pitch is going to be on the zone where you want to that pitch to be. So I used to brush hitters sometimes, and sometimes that batter that I brushed back, they want to chase the mound. But, you know, when that happened, Orlando was always next to me. So the hitters They say Orlando. They see Orlando so big next to me, and they say, oh, no, I don't go over there.
Pete Rose said you were the best pitcher that he ever faced, and even Bob Gibson paid you a very strong compliment as well. He said, I had a better fastball and slider. He said, but Marichal was the best of our time, better than Koufax and better than me. That is a high compliment, sir.
I think so. Came from one of the best. Gibson was awesome. I used to love to watch him pitch. He was a great competitor. And a guy that when he was on the mound, he mean business. He know that he wants to win. And the only way is by competitor and being tough. There's no other way that you can be a great pitcher if you don't throw the ball the way he used to.
We got about 45 seconds before we have to break. But was it a badge of courage to pitch a complete game? I mean, I think about today with the specialization where, you know, you have the setup guy, you got the closer, middle reliever. But you guys did not want the ball taken out of your hand, did you?
Well, those days, when they give you the ball, they expect you to go nine innings. And I used to love to go nine. I think when if you're not tired, I think you should go nine. You should try. And the only reason that you can develop a strong arm is by throwing. If you don't throw nothing but maybe 60 or 80 pitches or 6 or 7 innings, your arm don't going to be strong enough when you try or you have to go nine. I think you have to do it. Gaylor and myself, you know, we used to work so hard and we used to complete so many games and we never have an arm problem. Never.
Juan Marichal, 244 complete games. We'll continue and we'll talk about that great game as we continue on Sports Byline.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you can easily find coverage options that fit your budget. If only it was that easy to name your baby.
How about Jaden?
No.
Okay. Michael?
Went to middle school with a glue-eating Michael.
Sebastian?
Dated one in college.
How about Damien?
Vampire name.
All right. Greg?
Not feeling it.
Okay. No worries. Jeffrey?
Oh, I love that one.
Wait, really?
No.
Find coverage options that fit your budget with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
The new John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul. All in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
Guess what, people? Wendy's has new saucy nugs. You heard me. Wendy's nugs now come in 7 saucy flavors. Buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, spicy ghost pepper. You can literally hear your taste buds after every bite. I'm serious. Listen to mine. Okay, that's just me playing with sound effects, but you get the idea. For a whole new way to nug, gotta be Wendy's.
Now participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
Power comes in many forms. The beloved power nap. The enviable power couple. The celebrated power hitter. But around here, Kohl's Cash is power. And if you earned it recently, it's time for your power trip to Kohl's. Will you redeem your Kohl's Cash on those Adidas sneakers you've been eyeing? Will you flex at the block party with that new ice cream maker? Will you replace your kids' favorite shorts because they outgrew them again? However you redeem your Kohl's Cash before it expires, more power to you. Not valid on Sephora at Kohl's. Additional exclusions may apply.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Juan Marichal has joined us on Sports Byline USA, and as I mentioned, he was part and involved in arguably the greatest game ever pitched involving him and Milwaukee Braves Hall of Famer Warren Spahn. The date was July the 2nd, 1963 at Candlestick Park. The two great pitchers matched scoreless innings until the Giants outfielder Willie Mays homered off of Spahn to win the ballgame 1-0 in the 16th inning. I think before we talk about that game, everybody that's listening around the world should understand what Candlestick Park was like to pitch in. What kind of park was it for you and for Warren that night?
That was, to me, the way the game went, and you know, it was easy for both of us to pitch in that park because we went 15 innings. We threw over 200 pitches. I was lucky enough to become the winner. But let me tell you, it wasn't easy to pitch against the great Warren Spahn. A left-hander, the winning left-hander in the decade, you know, the 363 wins. And he was tough. He was tough as a pitcher and as a batter. He was a good hitter. And pitching a Candlestick, I used to enjoy it.
That ballpark was windy, and that's what I was getting at. And it could get very cold in the middle of summer. What was the night like? Did that help out as far as both of you being able to pitch that long?
I concentrate so hard in that park because every time I hear the hitters complain about the wind and the dust and this, so I say to myself, if they don't like it, you know, I have to think that it's a good place for a pitcher. So I have to concentrate on that and forget about the weather, forget about the wind, and just try to do your job, throw the ball where you think it's going to affect the most the hitters, and just concentrate on that. And I think that's what I used to do when I was on the mound.
When you think about the fact that it was Warren Spahn, the great lefty, and it was the great righty, Juan Marichal, pitching against each other, was there something about that competition between the two of you in that game that added to the kind of the rush for both of you pitchers?
Well, Alvin Dar wanted to take me out from the ninth inning on. And I went to him and I begged him to let me stay on the game, you know. And I say the weather's nice. I feel strong. I don't know about the weather, if it was nice or not, but I just say that for him to keep me on the game. So he let me stay for two innings or four innings. So now the game is on the 14 innings. He came back to me and said, "That's it. You're not pitching any longer. I don't want you to hurt your arm. I don't want nothing to happen to you." So I say to him, "Mr. Dart, do you see that man pitching over there? He's 42 years old. I'm only 25, and nobody's going to take me out of this game." So he was mad. You know, I should not say that to him because he was my manager, and you have to have some respect for your manager. But I don't want to leave the game. And Ed Bailey was catching on that game, and every time that Alvin wanted to take me out, he said, Don't let him. Win or lose is a great game. So in the 15 innings that I went out, when I came back, I say, "Alvin, that's it. You can get somebody else." So he called the bullpen and get somebody ready. And when Warren went in, he got just three out, just like that. And I look at my glove, I look at my hat, and I look to the bullpen. I saw the relief pitcher coming in, and I run to the mound. So they have to call that relief pitcher back to the bullpen. So lucky enough, I got 1, 2, 3, and before I get to the dugout, I wait for Willie to come from center field, and I say, Chico, Alvin Dog is mad at me, so I don't gonna be pitching any longer. So he tapped my back and say, "One, don't worry, I'm gonna win this game for you." So he was the leadoff batter and at that inning, and first pitch, that ball left the park. I was the happiest man in earth.
I bet. 1-0 the final as Willie Mays hit the home run in the 16th inning to win it for the Giants and Juan Marichal. And again, I want to urge you to check out this wonderful book. It's called The Greatest Game Ever Pitched, Juan Marichal, Warren Spahn, and the Pitching Duel of the Century. I think it's easy to say that there were a lot of great hitters playing baseball when you were pitching. And I think of people certainly like Frank Robinson in the National League, Roberto Clemente, Pete Rose, Billy Williams as well. Tell me about some of the hitters then and the battles that you had with some of the great hitters in the National League.
So many, like you say, so many good hitters of that era. I remember Willie Stargell. I remember Billy Williams. Those guys, you know, Pete Rose. He was something. Roberto Clemente, and a guy from the Dodgers that broke his ankle, Tommy Davis. He was a great, great hitter. And everywhere you go was Lou Brock, Maury Wills. That guy, I think I don't want to see that guy come to the plate because if he get on, he can extend a walk to a triple. And with so many tough players at that era that when I see, I hear people now compare that era to now, I think that the only difference now is the money that the player make. Because those days was hard to pitch, hard to hit. And you have to play the game to win. And I think the game was played differently at that time.
Warren, I've had a lot of great pitchers tell me the same thing, that the big boppers, the big home run hitters, really did not bother them that much. It was those little pesky contact hitter guys, the guys like Tony Gwynn, and you were talking about Tommy Davis and others like that. But, I mean, were the contact hitters the ones that used to drive pitchers like you crazy?
Yes. And I can mention one that I try so hard to get that guy out. And every time he was at the plate, he gave me some hard problem. Was Tony Gonzalez. He was one of those guys that hit the ball left field to the middle, or sometimes he pulled the ball. But I have such a hard time to get him out. And one time, after we both retired, you know, we played this legend game in Miami where they have all the Cubans. So I was invited to play in that game. And I think I was playing for Amendares, and he played for Havana. And I got him out. And I told him, I said, listen, it took me 25 years to do it, but now I'm happy. I got you out.
Of course, you had some great players on your team as well, a number of Hall of Famers aside from just yourself, Orlando Cepeda, Willie Mays, and Willie McCovey. If you would, for just a moment, was there a commonality among all of you, all four Hall of Famers, about the way you approached playing baseball?
I was so proud to be on that group. You know, I'm playing the same field with Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Orlando Cepeda. Sometimes the three Alou brothers, that they play the same field in the same game. I was so proud to, with my career and my year that I play at the major league level, because since I was a kid, I wanted to become a baseball player. But I never thought that I was going to be playing in the same field with the best baseball player ever, Willie Mays.
What was it from a player's perspective? I know what the media says, I know what the fans say, but I've always found that professional athletes have a particular appreciation for other great athletes that maybe the others that I mentioned don't have. What is it that you as a Hall of Famer have is an appreciation of the way Willie Mays played the game.
He played to win. He played to win. And he was the type of players that don't need coach. He used to hit a ball, and he know how far he can go without looking at anybody. He know if he can go to second or if he can extend that hit to a triple. He know from second if he can score, because he study every opposite player. He know what kind of arm this guy got, and he never take a chance. He play to win, and he play smart. That was the type of player that Willie was. And another guy that amazed me through the year was Roberto Clemente. He was another guy that played to win. That man used to hit a ball to the mound. And if you didn't hurry, he can beat that throw to first because he never give up. Never. So that's the way that I like to see the ball play, you know, the game. Because when you play to win, nobody can criticize you.
You mentioned about the game being played differently. The ballparks are different as well. I remember as a kid, I visited my grandparents in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and we always went to Cincinnati to either watch the Reds for a series on the weekend or the Pittsburgh Pirates at Old Forbes Field. Now, I think the saying was, it's about a $5 cab ride to center field in Forbes Field. I mean, that was a very big ballpark, was it not?
Yes, yes. Those days, you don't see those plays that you see today. The ball is hit, and the outfielder run to the wall, and jump and cut the ball. And those days, you don't have time to get to the wall because the fence was so far. So today you see so many times that play, a guy that hit a ball out of the park, but the outfielder jumped and rub a home run. So those days was different.
Another aspect of your greatness as well was the fact that baseball decided that too many runs were being scored, and so they lowered the mound, did they not? And you turned around the next season, and if my memory serves me correctly, either won 25 or 26 games after they lowered the mound.
No, I think that happened the same year that Gibson came up with a 1.12 ERA.
Right.
And I win 26 games. I complete 30 games. That was in 1968. So they lowered the mound after that season.
Okay.
Because, I think that whoever did it didn't like the pitchers.
We only have a couple minutes left, but when you think back on your great career and you've had a moment to kind of sit back and reflect a little bit, what is it that Tawan Marichal means the most to him about what he did in baseball and how he played the game?
Well, I think that a lot of people appreciate what my career. Most of the people that know baseball, they know how hard I work. I prepare myself to be on the field and give 100%. I think I sacrifice myself to have a good career. And if you do that, I think you end up at a positive way. You know, every time I knew I was going to pitch the next day or 2 days later or 3 days, I prepare myself. You know, I never smoke, I never drink, and that was a big sacrifice. You know, because I know most of the players they like a good life. You know, they want to go to a disco, they want to have a good time, they want to do this. I was different. You know, and thank God that I sacrificed myself and it paid off.
We got about 45 seconds left. Is there a particular moment in your career that is emblazoned in your mind, a moment that you'll never forget?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I would never forget the incident with Johnny Roseboro. Never. Because I think that hurt my career. It hurt my image. And it hurt Juan Marichal. And I'm very sorry about the incident, what happened, and I regret my the way I handle the situation.
The two words associated with Juan Marichal in my mind is a gentleman and also classy. You had a great career, and I thank you for sharing with us the moments that got you through that career. Thank you very, very much, Juan, for coming in and spending some time with us here on Sports Byline.
My pleasure. It's a great thrill to be here with you and be in San Francisco, the city that I love the most. I love the people, and I love the Giants.
Juan Marichal with us, Hall of Fame right-hander, the Dominican Dandy. That's what they called him, 16 years in the majors. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
That's going to wrap up this hour of Sports Byline, where we talk baseball with one of the all-time greats, Juan Marichal, Hall of Famer. What a great career he had. He pitched for 15 seasons, 13 of those 15 with the Giants, also with the Red Sox and the Dodgers. But Marichal is probably best known for one regular season game in his career involving him and Milwaukee Braves Hall of Famer Warren Spahn in a night contest played in 1963 before almost 16,000 at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. The two great pitchers matched scoreless innings after scoreless innings until the Giants outfielder Willie Mays homered off of Spahn to win the game 1-0 in the 16th inning. But stick around, because I'm coming right back with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.
Hi, this is Rick Tittle. Make sure to tune into my show, Titillating Sports, every Monday through Friday,
And that'll be 3 hours from 9 to noon on the West Coast, noon to 3 on the East. Once again, check me out, Titillating Sports, every weekday on Sports Byline.
Sports Byline USA News. I'm Ben Murphy. Utah Jazz forward Lauri Markkanen has agreed on a 5-year, $238 million contract extension. Since you can't be traded for 6 months after signing a contract, signing this deal on August 7th means that Markkanen cannot be moved this season due to the trade deadline being February 6th. Charles Barkley has announced that he will remain with TNT for the rest of his contract and will not retire from television after this upcoming NBA season. His contract runs through 2032 and is a 10-year, $210 million contract. Barkley is a key part of one of the most prestigious shows inside the NBA and has been a part of the crew since the year 2000. After a 122-87 win over Brazil, the men's U.S. Olympic basketball team has advanced to the semifinals where they will play Serbia, led by Nikola Jokic. Last time these teams faced off, USA took home the win by a score of 110-84, where Kevin Durant made his return to play and scored 23 points on 8 of 9 shooting.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Yeah, my daughter needs a laptop for college, but I need to watch the budget.
Well, Staples hot deals on tech are backed by a price match guarantee, so our prices won't be beat.
Great. I can't believe my baby's starting college.
She'll do great.
I know.
Oh, let's get you a great deal on a laptop.
Sing big on tech for school at Staples. Now get up to $300 off select PCs. Ends 8/24 price match guarantee valid within 14 days of purchase. Exclusions apply. For details, visit staples.com/price match.
Billy Beane, an MLB executive and one of the first openly gay figures in the sport, has passed away at the age of 60. Beane was the MLB's senior vice president for diversity, equity, and inclusion and was hired in 2014. This was the first sport to have this role. He battled leukemia for 8 months after being diagnosed in December. After losing 21 games in a row, the Chicago White Sox have broken their losing streak after beating the Oakland A's 5-1 on Tuesday night. Their 21 straight losses is tied with the 1988 Orioles for the second most losses in a row ever, 2 games behind the Phillies, who lost 23 in a row in 1961. This is Sports Byline USA News.
Sports in 60. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Sorting out the plethora of simultaneous live daytime Olympic sporting events across the NBC family of channels can be daunting. Enter NBC's Gold Zone, a takeoff of the NFL Red Zone channel that is produced by NFL Network for cable, and until Sunday tickets switch to YouTube TV, had a twin version on the DirecTV platform. The hosts from those respective channels, Scott Hansen and Andrew Siciliano, are two of the four total navigators on Gold Zone that gives you whip-around Olympic coverage from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, and it's a major success. Available on Peacock only, it's gaining huge traction as a new way to digest simultaneous sports action. Take note, NCAA, your first weekend of men's and women's basketball tournament action would look awful sharp with this format. Sports in 60, presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Former Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh, who is now the head coach of the LA Chargers, has received a 1-year suspension from the NCAA in a 4-year show cause order. Harbaugh was found to have demonstrated unethical conduct and a failure to promote atmosphere of compliance as an investigation was launched into the forbidden recruiting during a COVID-2021 dead period. Harbaugh led Michigan to its first national championship since 1977. The Lions and Giants have both been fined $200,000 after a brawl broke out between Giants rookie wide receiver Malik Nabers and Lions safety Kirby Joseph. This happened after a play where Daniel Jones targeted neighbors on a deep ball that was broken up, and a scuffle broke out soon after. There was reportedly multiple fights during this joint practice, which led to both teams being fined. Today in sports history. On this day in 1929, Babe Ruth ties the MLB record for consecutive games with a grand slam in a 13-1 win over the Athletics. In 1956, pitcher Satchel Paige wins a game in front of the largest minor league crowd in history, with 57,000 fans in attendance. The Marlins won this game 6-2 against the Columbus Jets. Have a good day, and remember, you're listening to Sports Byline USA News. I'm Ben Murphy.
If you're among the millions struggling with peripheral neuropathy, I ask you to listen up. Hi, this is Marty Terrell from Sports Overnight America here on Sports Byline Broadcast. As you heard me say, peripheral neuropathy, I've struggled with it. It's annoying. And if untreated, it can really cause some health problems. Now, the bottom line is I reached out to Innovative Wellness, Christy and Andrew Steiger in particular, at innovativewellness.center of Clive, Iowa. They're now gaining clients from all over the Midwest because shockwave therapy, which they prescribed for me, and I did it in a consistent fashion, I got appreciable, verifiable results. Life is better. InnovativeWellness.center. Peripheral neuropathy is very annoying and can be very, very serious if left untreated. Check it out. InnovativeWellness.center. Christy Steiger, Andrew Steiger, InnovativeWellness.center.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
Good to have you with us for this hour of America's Sports Talk Show. This is going to be a very interesting hour on Sports Byline because Jay Maguire is going to be here. Think about that last name, Maguire. Yep, the younger brother of Mark Maguire. And he has authored a book called Mark and Me, which I'll tell you more about in just a second. And also we're going to spend some time with Jim Cott. Jim played 25 years in the majors, half of that 25 with the Minnesota Twins. Want to send my best out to our servicemen and servicewomen who get a chance to listen to us worldwide on the American Forces Network. When we launched the network back in 1988, AFN joined us then in 1989, and they've been with us ever since. And, of course, I've had the honor of going over to Iraq, Afghanistan, Germany, and even down to the training base in Georgia, Columbus, Georgia, Fort Benning, Georgia. And so I've been able to see how it was when the recruits came into the Army and how it is the finished product when they've been out in the field and in combat situations. And it's always been an honor. I've said in speeches that I've given that of all the things I've done in broadcasting and probably in my life as well, aside from family things, of course, that what I've done with the military and shared the time with them and taken the show to Iraq and Afghanistan and Germany and let the soldiers co-host each hour is the best thing I've done in my career and in my life. So, again, I want to send a shout-out to them. Jay Maguire has written the book Mark and Me, Mark Maguire and the Truth Behind Baseball's Worst-Kept Secret. Now, Jay is the youngest of five Maguire brothers. And in Mark and Me, Jay reveals the dosage and the array of performance-enhancing drugs he says that Mark Maguire used during a three-year stretch beginning in 1994. Now, Jay suggests that Mark didn't tell the whole story when in a series of interviews since he admitted that he had used performance-enhancing drugs, that he adamantly denied a link between anabolic steroids and his late career performance. So we'll talk to Jay about the book and about his brother. And then Jim Cott will join us, former Major League pitcher. As I said, 25 years in the Major Leagues, most of those with the Minnesota Twins, but also with the White Sox, the Phillies, the Cardinals, and even a year with the Yankees. He won a record 16 Gold Gloves. And he never officially retired from Major League Baseball. He pitched to Ted Williams and Tony Gwynn, and he pitched in the majors at 20 years old and also at 44 years old. So it's going to be an interesting hour. We're ready to crank it up. Nice to have you with us on America's Sports Talk Show.
School is almost here. And if there's two things I can count on, it's my kids needing new outfits because they grow like weeds, and Kohl's stocking their favorite styles. With the Back to School Customer Appreciation event going on, I scored 30% off tees, jeans, sneakers, and more when I shopped with a Kohl's card. No card? No problem. Rewards members save 20%, and everyone else saves 15%. Plus, earn Kohl's cash. When it comes to back to school, you gotta go back to Kohl's. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Offer ends August 11th. Please store or Kohl's.com for details.
Lowe's is here for you after the storm. From safety products and cleanup supplies, Lowe's is fully stocked with essentials. Now through September 11th, get 12-month special financing on an in-store purchase of $299 or more with your MyLowe's Rewards credit card in select stores only. Lowe's knows recovery. Lowe's knows community. Subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats, too. Your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. And look at you, hands perfectly placed on the wheel. Not like the driver to the right of you who's really going after that drum solo. Save with DriveWise on the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family-owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built. Providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below-grade lightweight geofoam fill, Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Jay McGuire joins us on Sports Byline. He is the younger brother of Mark McGuire, and you probably have heard about his book called Mark and Me, Mark McGuire and the Truth Behind Baseball's Worst Kept Secret. And he is the youngest of five McGuire brothers. Dan, of course, one of the younger brothers as well, was an NFL football player. Jay, I always ask the author at some time in the interview the motivation for writing the book. Now, I've read several things said by you as to why you wrote it, but I'm going to let you put it into your own words.
Well, I just believe my story is powerful in ways of my own story and how it's unique and how I got involved in steroids and bodybuilding world there at a young age of 18, 19 years old. And basically, be able to have an influence on Mark, to be able to, you know, at that time, we thought that was the right decision because he was hurt in 93 and 94. And I said, Mark, this is something to think about, you know. He was frustrated. He was always hurt, you know. I was there with him when people call him a bum and he's a has-been, stuff like that. So, you know, I just put it in his mind. And, you know, he didn't jump up and say, oh, yeah, I want to do this right away, you know. So it took a while. But basically the whole story is about me and my journey and what happened to me when I was on these dangerous drugs, and I didn't find out until later on, I don't want anybody to go through what I went through.
Jay, I'm wondering about the rest of the family. I think most people know how Mark has responded to it. One of the words that he used in a recent interview was sad when he was asked about the book, and we also know you two have been estranged for a number of years, and he has said that he doesn't want to see you again. But I'm wondering about the rest of the family, because your parents are both professionals. Your dad is in the mental health business as well. What has been their reaction to this book?
It's been quiet. They, you know, they discouraged me about it. You know, I just felt compelled and, you know, convicted to write this. And I, you know, the story that could help change and influence these kids, the generation behind us, about the dangers of these drugs, you know. And I'm just clearing a lot of things up. This book is not a damaging book whatsoever towards Mark. You know, I love my brother Mark, even though we haven't spoken a while, in my family. And, you know, I praise him in this book. I defend him well. You know, it's a good read. It's just, I just pray that people actually read it, give it a chance, and then make their own judgment.
When you say about the damage that steroids and these drugs can do, knowing that, is it after the fact that you know this? Or because if you think about it, if you knew this, why then would you have recommended it to Mark?
No, at that time, I was in my peak of my bodybuilding. And, you know, and I had that mentality, steroids were the answer for me to turn pro, to be a pro bodybuilder. And so I was justified all day long, you know. So I was lost. So I wasn't the best influence on Mark at that time, you know. And so, yeah, looking back, it's the wrong decision after the fact that I learned the hard way that these drugs are dangerous. But, you know, and also, you know, we could have done this natural with Mark, you know. It would have taken him probably 2 to 3 years longer. You know, he'd probably not get as big and strong, but he would have definitely got back on the field, you know. So not my regrets that I influenced him and, you know, but at that time we thought it was the right decision. And then obviously it paid off for Mark at that time, you know, and then he got baseball back to the brink, you know, things. And so here we are today.
I want to ask you about two dates, 1989, in which Mark candidly and openly has admitted when he got involved with these drugs, and yet you say 1994. Why the difference in the two dates?
Did he? What date did you say?
He, I didn't hear that. Mark said 1989 is when he started getting involved.
Oh, 89, yeah. He said he'd take them for a few weeks. Now, you know, taking drugs for a few weeks, and this is where I educate the reader about steroids and how the chemicals work in your body. It's a long-term, long-duration breakdown in the body of using these drugs. You got to cycle them at least 12 weeks to be able to even get the full effect of these drugs. So a few weeks, it just shows how naive Mark was at that time. He wasn't even on a training regimen at that time. Obviously, those few weeks didn't have no effect on his physique and strength and size. I was really the one actually got him going to the point that, you know, it transformed his body. You know, it just, you know, I make it very clear in the book that Mark just didn't take steroids and all of a sudden he hit 70 home runs. And, you know, it took a while. It took about 3 years, from 94 to 96, to be able to transform his body slowly. We gained about 10 to 12 pounds of lean muscle mass each year. And so that, over time, you gained, you know, 30 pounds of lean muscle mass. Mark was more flexible at 260 than he was at 230. So it all has to do with the program, the eating, the supplements, and the training. It's so important to be able to have everything working right for you and know what you're doing to make everything work.
Did Mark ever tell you why he started getting involved with him back in 1989, even for a short period of time? What was the motivation for him doing it then, Jay?
No, you know, at that time I didn't really know it. I didn't really know that information. He didn't share that with me. And, you know, when I brought him to my supplier back in Sacramento days to talk about the different chemicals that would work in his body to heal him faster, you know, he was really naive. I mean, he really acted like a beginner. He had no idea how to take it, when to take it, what to take, you know, didn't know anything. What, you know, the different size of the CCs that you need to take, you know, and so we had to educate him. So it just showed me that he must have, you know, it was just really naive back in 89. Somebody must have given him some pills, and here, try this, and that, and he tried it, and that's about it, you know, and that's not how you take steroids, you know, you won't have any effect that way.
Jay, you have said in the book that he did understand that this was going to have an effect on his career, that he was going to get bigger, he was going to get stronger, and his bat speed was going to get faster. Am I correct in that?
Yes, everything is going to be. You know, Mark made adjustments to a swing, too. So, you know, everything worked together. You know, he did, you know, visualize mentally, you know, release of the pitchers. You know, the time that he was hurt, he would focus on the pitchers, you know, from the dugout and see the release, the seams of the ball. He practiced with that, shortened his swing with Doug Rader back in 95, 96 years. And so he perfected a compact, powerful swing. At the same time, you know, he's building up his body. So it was basically we're building up a home run machine. Now, do we think that he was going to hit 70 home runs? Absolutely not. I mean, I think he shocked the whole world doing that, you know, in himself. You know, we were just thinking about, let's get Mark back into the lineup and, you know, and prolong his career here.
Certainly one of the disastrous moments in his career or after his career was over was his hearing up on Congress, before Congress. And you said in the book that it was reflective a lot of your dad's attitude toward things. Can you explain that a little bit further?
Well, Mark is very private, you know, and he doesn't like anybody to know his business. You know, he's a very private person, very conservative, you know, reserved person. And I just think he acted out of fear, you know. I think he had bad coaching with his lawyers. And the best decision he would have made is just to be honest with everybody. I think he made this stairway thing a lot worse on him than what it should have been. So, you know, that's what I'm talking about, just being too private, not letting anybody know anything and try to brush it under the carpet, you know. And that doesn't work.
And any time did he think that he was cheating?
No, probably not at the time, no. It's so easy to justify to do this stuff, you know, and I know how the athletes feel about this, you know. I talk to them about it all the time. And a lot of them just don't think it's cheating. Now, since we're all educated now, you know, back in the 90s, no one really cared. You talk about steroids all the time. But now everyone, it's in the front pages now. People are writing books, and the media is all over it. People are more educated about steroids now, and they understand how they work. So, and that's a good thing. The overall, I think this, hopefully Major League Baseball will get this real tight testing like NFL does, and then eventually this will be the past, and we learn from this that generation in the 90s.
Yeah, Jay, the other thing, too, I wondered about is that obviously when you bulk up, and Mark was already a pretty big boy when he came to Major League Baseball. I used to see his games when he was down at USC. He certainly wasn't bulk-wise as big as he was when he started taking the steroids and the HGH. But I'm just wondering whether that added to the injury factor, because obviously if you put a lot of bulk on, you're stretching tendons, you're stretching muscles, you're doing a lot of things that is not going to be healthy for your body.
In the long term, yeah. Short term, no. Long term, you're absolutely right about that, you know, and that's what happened. That's what happened to him in 2001. You know, he had that deep tendonitis in his back knee, his right leg there, and so he couldn't turn on the ball anymore, and he wasn't healing. So his body's breaking down, and that's what steroids do. I mean, it's a great thing at first, you know. It's like, oh yeah, you got results and this and that, you know. But I tell you, the more you take them, then you get off of them. You know, my body was aching from head to toe. You know, and it's just not healthy. It's just you're breaking down too much ligament and tendons and muscle tissue too often. It's not really getting the repair. Obviously, the steroids are repairing it faster. But when you get off these drugs, they hurt you.
Where does Mark's ego come into factor here, allowing him to do this?
Back in 94?
Yeah.
I just think it's, you know, the competitiveness of Mark. He's always been competitive, you know, and no one wants to, you know that it's all over with. Maybe the handwriting was on the wall for him at that time, you know. And I just know this for a fact. He would not listen to me. He wouldn't even listen to my weight training program when it comes to free weight lifting if he wasn't hurt. You know, Mark was very humbled at that time. I was the peak of my bodybuilding. He was pretty impressed how I was doing bodybuilding and the training, and, you know, and I just, at that time, we just thought it was the right decision.
Jay McGuire has joined us on Sports Byline. This is a fascinating book, and there's another side to it as well, and Jay alluded to it a little bit earlier, and that is the fact about his involvement in it. We're going to talk about the use of steroids, the negative aspects of it, and some of the lessons that Jay learned about the use of steroids as we continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Jay McGuire has joined us on Sports Byline. Again, and I hope you'll check out this book. It's called Mark and Me, Mark McGuire and the Truth Behind Baseball's Worst Kept Secret. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved with steroids, Jay.
You know, I was 18, 19 years old, and, you know, just endlessly, you know, you hear about it in the gyms. You see, you know, I grew up in the hardcore gyms at that age, and I was around a lot of bodybuilders and powerlifters, and you just hear the conversations about it, and you can see people that are on it, you know. And I was a pretty big guy at that time, you know. Looking back, actually, you know, knowing what I know now, there's no need for a teenager or a 20-year-old to take steroids because you got your own natural testosterone working great for you at that time, you know. It starts depleting down at age 24, so I'm at my peak. You know, I wish somebody told me about that when I was younger. But, you know, I just temptation of just trying to get bigger and faster and stronger, faster, you know. And it happened, you know. I started taking some Anavar. It's supposed to help your strength and lean you up. And, you know, I gained some weight there and like 10 pounds of muscle and added, you know, 30 to 50 pounds on my bench, you know. And it was just, wow, this is amazing. So it hooks you in, and I was impressed at a young age. It hooked me in right away. And I was doing off and on for about 8 years, and I got into it, you know, heavily into bodybuilding. And this is how I really justified it, to live this behavior, live this lifestyle of steroids, is because I wanted to be a pro bodybuilder. I wanted to be on the magazines. I wanted to be Mr. Olympia and all that. And it's impossible to even compete on a national level to get your pro card to be natural. You need to take all these drugs and growth hormone to compete because that's where everyone else is doing. So, you know, I just lived that lifestyle, you know, and I found out it was the wrong way to go. You know, I had a lot of side effects after my last contest in 96. I found out that I had tumorous growth in my nipples, both nipples. I had to get surgery removed. My blood pressure was skyrocket. My cholesterol was real high. My liver enzymes are real high. That's not good there, because liver enzymes are high like that. That means your liver cell is supposed to be like a jelly, and it started to callous up, you know, and the doctors tell me that if that shuts down, you're dead. And so, you know, over time, this is how God actually saved my life. He speak through my girlfriend at the time, my family. They were concerned. They were telling me, "Jay, go get checked out," and this and that. I got checked out. I got off drugs, basically. Then I got depressed. I got real, real depressed when I was off the drugs. I felt puny, small, weak, useless. I didn't want to, you know, go out and train anymore. I wanted to sleep all day. I was suicidal. I didn't like my life anymore. I felt like it was just useless, and why live anymore? It was a real dark time at that time in my life, you know. And this is the time that I just cried out to God, and I gave up, and I just cried out to God, and asked Him to save me. And at that time, I just felt His presence. He gave me hope and faith, courage, you know. I just felt a little better the next day, you know, little by little. Then, you know, before you know it, God's putting people in my life and inviting me to church. And, you know, and I stopped thinking about myself, and you know, God put it on other people and people that love me. So, I mean, the support of my family and friends and the Lord that saved my life, it got me in a new direction. Because I tell you that, if I didn't listen to that voice that God was speaking to me in my heart, you know, I don't know where I'd be today. I could be dead. I could have some serious medical issue problems right now. I'm just thankful that He changed my life 14 years ago.
And this was during what period of time did you go through this depression, the suicidal feelings? What were the years on that? Was that between?
That was 1996. That was after Mr. California. I talk about this all in the book. I get details about it. But, you know, I remember like it was yesterday. I was in my parents' house at that time. I was upstairs. I was about to jab myself with a shot, the needle in my hip. And I felt God talk to me, man, like you and I are talking. He says, "That's the last time you're going to do steroids." And I said to myself, "Yeah, right." So, you know, I went on with my day. I worked out. And, you know, out of the blue, I just start feeling convicted. I start feeling remorse about who I became and what I've been doing. And I just start feeling sorry. You know, I'd like, you know, what am I doing? It's just, you know, it was a hard time. And that was the turning point right there. You know, and that's what made me get to the doctor and then check out my, you know, the signs of what my health condition were. And my parents and my friends around me, you know, helped me through this, you know. But, you know, it's just, it was a tough time, man. But I don't want anybody to go through that. And that's why this book means a lot to me. If my story could help change somebody else, someone that I could influence not to take these dangerous drugs, because that's how they lure you in at first, because the steroids do work. It's like any other drug out there. And before you know it, it's your ball and chain in life. It's going to be, you're going to be carrying around with you. You're going to use it as a crutch. And when you get off of it, you're going to hit hard. It's like no different than somebody has a drug problem. You know, they have to go to rehab, and it's an ugly time. But, you know, it's a time that you can look and reflect and say, "Hey, my life changed."
Well, the fact that Mark was on these drugs as well, did he have any of these symptoms as well, like the roid rage?
No, Mark was always on low dosages, and I talk about this in the book. And the reason why we did that is because, you know, Mark's not a bodybuilder, right? I'm the bodybuilder. So, you know, we don't want to ruin his swing. You know, when I talk about the training regimen, what he did and why we did small dosages for him, is because, you know, you don't want him to put too much size on too quick. It will restrict him, you know, his swing and his running ability and everything. And so he might pull more muscle. So, you know, we did it really nice and slow. You know, 30 pounds in 3 years is a nice, gradual, slow gaining process there. And that's how you do it right, you know. But at the same time, Mark was, you know, felt like at that time that was the only thing was keeping him going, you know. And now, before you know, he's starting to depend on it, right? But ever since God saved my life in 96, I stopped supplying Mark. And I said, "Mark, that's it. I'm done," you know. And he was happy for me because he knew I had a lot of personal issues and this and that. And he was pulling for me. He's happy that God turned my life around. But that's when I introduced him to Anderson Dion. They made the big controversial thing, you know, during the home run race. You know, so Mark was clean, you know, from 96 on, probably the summer of 96, somewhere on there, 97, and he went on Andro. And I know he did come out and said he was on something during 98 season, and he must have been taking something for a healing agent drug that helped him recover faster. And I don't know if where he got that. It could have been leftovers I gave from him, or he got it from somebody else. But you know, that's what he said.
Jay, the fact that Mark did get healthy when he started going on the steroids and the HGH, and he did start performing well, would you say that he got hooked on these things? That he was hooked on using these steroids because of the confidence it gave him and the feeling it gave him?
Yeah, I talk about this in the book. What steroids do for you in confidence, man, it's tremendous. And this is where it gets you psychologically, you know, inside you. And that you feel more of a conqueror. You feel like a warrior. Like there's no one could kick your butt. That's the kind of attitude you have when you're on these drugs. And it's a pretty good feeling, you know, if you could balance it out, you know. And I know that's half the battle in athletics, you know, with these athletes out here. You know, that's the part of the reason why they do these drugs. It's recover and it gives you confidence, you know, and it builds up your body at the same time. So the temptation is great to be able to take that. And Mark, to a point, yeah, I think he was depending on it. Maybe those 3 years that we went through, yeah, because, you know, he's getting healthier. He's producing, you know. He's starting to see his body grow. So there's a little dependency on that, but not like what I went through. You know, I went nuts on him, and, you know, I go in details about that in the book.
You know your brother very, very well, and I've known him since his rookie years when he was with the Oakland A's. I spent a lot of time with him down at spring training and when he was in with the A's over those years. Do you think he has any regrets, and what might that regret be?
Yeah, just getting involved with them. You know, he said that, you know, when he was interviewed with Bob Costas, you know, and I felt for him because, you know, at that time, guys, we really thought it was the right decision, you know, and it got him healthy. It got him where he needed to go, you know. But bottom line, he probably regrets it from the heart of the matter of, you know, he could have done this naturally. And there's, you know, I want to encourage a lot of these athletes out there, you know, anybody who's trying to compete, you could do it naturally. Just continue to train hard. Give up a lot of sacrifice in your life about just day in and day out to drive hard and eat right. And if you train smart, you know, you will get results. It's going to take a little longer, but you're going to feel so much better about yourself doing it naturally than doing it on drugs.
Jay, I want to thank you very much for joining us. Again, the name of the book, Mark and Me, Mark McGuire and the Truth Behind Baseball's Worst Kept Secret. Thanks for joining us on Sports Byline.
Thanks for having me.
Also, it says in the book, Mark did gain the confidence you get from using steroids. There's an invincibility factor that comes into play. When you're using, you feel indestructible, which is a great attitude to have when you step into a batter's box and prepare to look at 90-mile-per-hour fastballs. Steroids did that for Mark. As I said, I've known Mark McGuire since the beginning of his career, and I think it's just kind of sad in a sense that he had to go down this path. I'm sure that he does regret it because he's an intelligent athlete, but it's one that he's going to have to live with for the rest of his life, and you heard from his brother, Jay McGuire, all about it this hour. We continue across the country and around the world. Good to have you with us on Sports Byline.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you can easily find coverage options that fit your budget. If only it was that easy to name your baby.
How about Jaden?
No.
Okay. Michael?
Went to middle school with a glue-eating Michael.
Sebastian?
Dated one in college.
How about Damien?
Vampire name.
All right. Greg?
Not feeling it.
Okay. No worries. Jeffrey?
Oh, I love that one.
Wait, really?
No.
Find coverage options that fit your budget with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
The new John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul. All in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
Guess what, people? Wendy's has new saucy nugs. You heard me. Wendy's nugs now come in 7 saucy flavors.
buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, spicy ghost pepper. You can literally hear your taste buds after every bite. I'm serious. Listen to mine. Okay, that's just me playing with sound effects, but you got the idea. For a whole new way to nug, gotta be Wendy's.
Now participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
Power comes in many forms. The beloved power nap, the enviable power couple, the celebrated power hitter. But around here, Kohl's Cash is power. And if you earned it recently, it's time for your power trip to Kohl's. Will you redeem your Kohl's Cash on those Adidas sneakers you've been eyeing? Will you flex at the block party with that new ice cream maker? Will you replace your kids' favorite shorts because they outgrew them again? However you redeem your Kohl's Cash before it expires, more power to you. Not valid on Sephora at Kohl's. Additional exclusions may apply.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Been a while since we've caught up with Jim Cott, the former Major League Baseball pitcher, 25 years in the major leagues. And one thing I noted, did you ever officially retire or not, Jim?
Well, I never did. People asked me, when did you retire? And I said, I never did. They retired me in the middle of 1983. They took my toys away.
Was there a particular reason for that?
I think age and economics. I was closing in on 45 years old, and I think they thought it was time to, not that money was an issue in those days, but I think they just wanted to kind of get some younger blood in the bullpen, and I was the guy to go.
You, of course, see Jim on Major League Baseball Network's Thursday Night Baseball along with Bob Costas, and does such a great job them teaming together. Working with Bob, have you ever worked with him before?
Well, I've known Bob for a long time, since his days in St. Louis when I was playing for the Cardinals, and we crossed paths quite a bit because both passionate about baseball, but as far as actually working a game on the air, no, it started 2 years ago when they launched the MLB Network. That was our first time together. We do about 8 or 10 games, so we've developed a nice rapport on the air, and of course we've always been good friends.
You know, I know John Miller and of course Joe Morgan lives here in the San Francisco Bay Area as well, and I asked them about developing the chemistry. How long do you think it takes? And how long did it take for you and Bob to develop chemistry, or was it a natural thing?
Well, the chemistry was a natural thing, but I think what Bob was concerned about is he had really not done baseball for quite a while. And, you know, there's a rhythm you get into. You kind of play off one another, and I think it takes a little while to develop that rhythm. As far as our chemistry together and topics that come up and bouncing things off one another, that was a pretty natural thing right from the first game we did.
One of the things that I've always said is good games get good broadcasts and bad games get mediocre broadcasts. Do you subscribe to that?
Yeah, I think I've been fortunate to have good training from guys like Dick Enberg and Dick Stockton, and I think I've been able to realize from the start that it's not who broadcasts the game, it's the game. And you need to realize that as an announcer. You're not there to be the game. You're there to kind of enhance it. And it's always rewarding when you have people say, hey, I learned something that I didn't know about the game last night, or you made it more interesting. And, you know, then you feel like you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Jim, you're a guy that played this game, so you certainly know the nuances and have an appreciation for teams and players when they do something. And while I sit here in San Francisco, I'm not certainly a homer in any particular way because I have a national show. But, you know, as I watched the whole situation with the Giants, and even my friends back east said this, they were very impressed with the manner in which the Giants did this, because it wasn't a guy picking up his team and carrying him on the back in the playoffs. It was truly a team effort, and it seemed to be one devoid of true ego. What was your view of what the Giants did last season?
Well, I think it was very refreshing for a baseball fan like myself and a former pitcher, even though I have a close relationship with Charlie Manuel, the manager of the Phillies. He and I were teammates together, and they appeared to be the stronger team. But, boy, to see what the Giants did and what Bruce Bochy did, I think, you know, sort of keeping everybody on an even keel. And as you said, it should be a lesson to general managers that you don't have to have an all-star at every position. If you have guys that can catch it and score an occasional run, and I think that's where they reminded me a little bit of our 82 Cardinal team. You know, I think the Phillies and the Expos in 1982 had the more powerful teams, but we had speed, defense, and good pitching, and we ended up winning it, and that's kind of what the Giants did.
You know, most of us were, at least sitting here, and I was as well, very impressed with the young pitching that the Giants had, and especially on a big stage like the World Series, to see some of those guys come through. Is it better to be young and just kind of oblivious to that type of pressure when it comes to the circumstance of a playoff or a World Series?
Well, I think when you see young pitchers, I said the guys today are so much more, I think, advanced than we were in terms of their technique, the pitches they can control. And with all the exposure that baseball gets on TV, I don't think young players are quite as intimidated as I was. Say, the first time I faced Ted Williams or Mickey Mantle, you know, they were like a bubblegum card. They were off in space somewhere, and you were so intimidated by what it was going to be like to try to get them out. I think young pitchers today are dealing with that much, much better, and as a result, you're seeing young pitchers and young players, for that matter, be able to handle pressure situations much better.
You had a book out called Still Pitching, and as you said, you know, pitching for 25 years in the major leagues, you'd be the perfect person to talk to about this. And that is Tim Lincecum, who belies the image of a pitcher. He's not a big, tall, overpowering, well-built type of guy, and yet he had early success, and he seems to be able to do things with his body and with his arm that would belie his age and also his stature. What do you read into that as a pitcher about his mechanics and success?
Well, when I talk to young pitchers, and I even did the same thing with the Twins, you don't have to have perfect mechanics, but the object is to develop a repetitive motion, a repetitive release point where you can throw strikes consistently. And how you do it really is insignificant. And everybody thinks that Timmy's delivery is kind of freakish, you know, in a way. He may be the more natural. You know, it's a one-piece flowing motion that works for him. And I always thought the best way to find your natural arm angle is to just feel the ground ball and pick it up like you're throwing to first base. You don't think about your legs or your shoulders or what they're doing. And that's where you find your natural release point. And everybody's is different. And so it's kind of nice to see a guy like Tim Lincecum, who everybody thinks is unusual. It's perfectly natural for him and obviously very effective.
Two-pronged question, Jim. Do you remember when you went from being a thrower to actually being what you considered to be a pitcher? And I'm just wondering about that maturation process today for young pitchers. How long does it generally take for them to go from being a thrower to being a pitcher?
Well, I was telling young Kyle Gibson, he was asking, you know, what was your biggest adjustment and when did you get over it? And I said, I think when I first looked at Mickey Mantle and said, you know, where am I going to throw the ball that I can get him out? You know, I thought that I had to make a perfect pitch, and you put kind of maximum effort into it, and it didn't always work, and thus you were a thrower. And then all of a sudden you threw a pitch with just a natural release, maybe 80% effort, had a little movement to it, and the Mickey Mantles and the Ted Williams and the Al Kalines, they'd ground out, pop up, just like a lot of other hitters. And then you would trust your stuff and believe that you didn't have to rear back and put maximum effort into every pitch in order to get a big league hitter out. And I think that's what the maturation process is, going from a thrower to a pitcher.
Also, when you take a look at the great hitters, they tend to do at least one thing consistently. I was talking to Tony Gwynn about this, and he said, you know, you don't try to pull a pitch that's on the outside part of the plate. And I know exactly what he's talking about. Do outside the great hitters, do generally hitters get themselves out, or do pitchers get them out?
I think there are a few, and maybe Tim Lincecum would fall into that category of a pitcher that gets a hitter out. Certainly Koufax did, Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson, Roger Clemens in his prime. They do it with natural stuff. The rest of us mortals, I think, and I used to discuss this with a lot of my teammates who wondered how I won games with less than what you'd call electric stuff. And I said, you have to give the hitter enough opportunities to get himself out. Throw strikes early in the count, change speeds, make him put the ball in play. And so I think for the most part, most pitchers have to give hitters opportunities to get themselves out.
But wouldn't you agree with me, Jim, that one of the things that was your strength is that you understood what you could and could not do as a pitcher, and so therefore you didn't try to put a square peg in a round hole?
I was talking with Jack McKeon, who, those of you that don't remember Jolly Jack, he managed the Marlins to the World Series in 2003. He was my minor league manager and catcher in 1958. And before you counted pitches and limited numbers of innings, we had seven pitchers on a staff, and we got to pitch every 4 days and pitch a little relief even in between starts. And he would come out in the sixth or seventh inning, be a couple men on, he'd come out to mound, he'd flip me the ball and say, well, figure out a way to get out of it. And so I think that's when you found out what worked for you and what didn't, and late in the game you kind of became your own relief pitcher and changed your style. And as you said, then you found out what worked for you and what didn't, and realized that it wasn't necessarily how hard you threw or how sharp your curve was, but you know how you could control your pitches and change speeds and take the ball off the fat of the bat.
Jim, I saw that you won 16 gold gloves, and I remember talking to Dennis Eckersley about the number of gold gloves he won, and he kind of laughed a little bit. He said, I didn't get too many chances, but the ones I got, I did the right thing with the ball. 16 is a pretty impressive number. Is that something you're particularly proud of, the gold gloves as a pitcher?
Well, I'm very proud of it because I took fielding my position very seriously. Bobby Shantz was my hero. I kind of mimicked his motion as a kid, listening to radio announcers describe it. When I got to spring training, one of my coaches said, wow, you look just like Bobby Shantz. And, of course, Bobby Shantz, for those that don't remember him, was a little lefty with the Philadelphia Athletics, won the MVP back in the early 50s, and was a terrific fielder. So I always tried to pride myself on being a baseball player that just happened to be a pitcher. And as a result, before the DH, when, you know, and that's real baseball without the DH, in my opinion, you had to field your position. You wanted to be able to swing the bat, run the bases, do whatever you could to help yourself. And I took all those things very seriously.
Well, it's interesting. You bring up a good point. I think about playing defense, say, in basketball in the NBA, and I've had more players tell me it's more of a mindset. It's a determination to play defense, and I hear you say that, and I'm just wondering, do you think that today's pitchers particularly, that they have that mindset to play defense, or are they just concentrating mainly on throwing pitches?
Well, I reminded the Twins pitchers of that, about how important it is and how you can help yourself. And whether, I would have to be around all of them almost on a daily basis to find out if they really took it seriously. You can generally pick out the pitchers that bounce off the mound. Mariano Rivera, the great reliever for the Yankees, is a terrific fielder. He probably could be a great outfielder. So I've always said it does not take a lot of talent to be a good fielding pitcher. You have to pay attention. You have to anticipate. You have to always understand when the ball is hit, there's a place where you can go to try to help your team. And if you just do those things, you have a good chance to be a reasonably good fielder and help yourself out.
Are pitchers, both from a throwing standpoint and from a defensive standpoint, are they as schooled as they used to be? Because, you know, when you were playing baseball, the minor leagues were about five leagues deep. You'd come start a D ball and then work your way up to seed ball and everything else. Now, of course, you probably go to double A ball, and you could find yourself in the major leagues within 2 years. And I'm just wondering about the development from that standpoint, if they get rushed to the major leagues.
Well, I think they do. We were discussing today how, for example, when I came up, there were 16 teams, eight in each league, and you had eight or nine pitchers on a staff. So there you had, let's say, 125 to 130 pitchers in the big leagues. Now you have 30 teams, and teams carry 12 pitchers. So you have probably 2.5 times the number of pitchers in the big league. So obviously they have to rush quite a few pitchers to the big leagues that probably would be better off, you know, spending a little more time in the minor leagues to learn their craft. Talent-wise and physical ability in terms of pitches, their technique, their motion, I think they're more polished than we were. But I don't think they've been given enough time in many cases in the minor leagues to figure out, as you referred to early, what works for them and what doesn't, and really develop into a pitcher to kind of know themselves and what they need to do to get hitters out.
We got 45 seconds left, Jim. When you go to the ballpark and watch the game, broadcast the game, do you like the feel of the game today?
Well, I wish it was faster paced. I wish the strike zone was a little more liberal. It's so much of a hitter's game that the pitchers are at a distinct disadvantage. And, you know, I wish that it had a little crisper pace to it. But I still enjoy the game between the lines, the competition of hitter versus pitcher and team versus team.
Jim, I want to thank you very much. I've always enjoyed our conversations. You've always been very kind to me. And, again, I want to urge everybody to watch Jim along with Bob Costas on Thursday night's broadcast on the MLB Network. Thanks a lot. Take care, Jim.
All right, Ron. Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Jim Cott, again, has won 7 Emmy Awards for his broadcast work, 25 years in the majors, one fine pitcher. We continue on Sports Byline.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Jim Cott and also Jay McGuire with us. Jim, of course, 25 years pitching in the major leagues, and I love this stat. Not only did he pitch in the majors at 20 years old and at 44 years old, but he pitched from President Eisenhower to President Reagan, and his career spanned four decades. And if you might check out his book, he wrote a book one time called Still Pitching about his career and the roadblocks and the triumphs he had along the way. It's a very interesting read. Another interesting read, Jay Maguire. His book is called Mark and Me, Mark Maguire and the Truth Behind Baseball's Worst Kept Secret. Jay, of course, one of the five Maguire brothers, and he was very, very candid in the things that he had to say about his brother and his alleged use of steroids and performance-enhancing drugs. I'm Ron Barr. We'll be talking to you on America's Sports Talk Show.
My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am the reigning, the defending, the undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio race. We're talking combat sports Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time. Join me for Ring Talk live worldwide on Sports Byline.
Sports Byline USA News. I'm Ben Murphy. Utah Jazz forward Lauri Markkanen has agreed on a 5-year, $238 million contract extension. Since you can't be traded for 6 months after signing a contract, signing this deal on August 7th means that Markkanen cannot be moved this season due to the trade deadline being February 6th. Charles Barkley has announced that he will remain with TNT for the rest of his contract and will not retire from television after this upcoming NBA season. His contract runs through 2032 and is a 10-year, $210 million contract. Barkley is a key part of one of the most prestigious shows inside the NBA and has been a part of the crew since the year 2000. After a 122-87 win over Brazil, the men's U.S. Olympic basketball team has advanced to the semifinals where they will play Serbia, led by Nikola Jokic. Last time these teams faced off, USA took home the win by a score of 110-84, where Kevin Durant made his return to play and scored 23 points on 8 of 9 shooting.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Yeah, my daughter needs a laptop for college, but I need to watch the budget.
Well, Staples hot deals on tech are backed by a price match guarantee, so our prices won't be beat.
Great. I can't believe my baby's starting college.
She'll do great.
I know.
Oh, let's get you a great deal on a laptop.
Save big on tech for school at Staples. Now get up to $300 off select PCs. Ends 8/24 price match guarantee valid within 14 days of purchase. Exclusions apply. For details, visit staples.com/price match.
Billy Beane, an MLB executive and one of the first openly gay figures in the sport, has passed away at the age of 60. Beane was the MLB's senior vice president for diversity, equity, and inclusion and was hired in 2014. This was the first sport to have this role. He battled leukemia for 8 months after being diagnosed in December. After losing 21 games in a row, the Chicago White Sox have broken their losing streak after beating the Oakland A's 5-1 on Tuesday night. Their 21 straight losses is tied with the 1988 Orioles for the second most losses in a row ever, 2 games behind the Phillies, who lost 23 in a row in 1961. This is Sports Byline USA News.
Sports in 60. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Sorting out the plethora of simultaneous live daytime Olympic sporting events across the NBC family of channels can be daunting. Enter NBC's Gold Zone, a takeoff of the NFL Red Zone channel that is produced by NFL Network for cable, and until Sunday tickets switch to YouTube TV, had a twin version on the DirecTV platform. The hosts from those respective channels, Scott Hansen and Andrew Siciliano, are two of the four total navigators on Gold Zone that gives you whip-around Olympic coverage from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, and it's a major success. Available on Peacock only, it's gaining huge traction as a new way to digest simultaneous sports action. Take note, NCAA, your first weekend of men's and women's basketball tournament action would look awful sharp with this format. Sports in 60, presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Former Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh, who is now the head coach of the L.A. Chargers, has received a one-year suspension from the NCAA in a four-year show cause order. Harbaugh was found to have demonstrated unethical conduct and a failure to promote atmosphere of compliance as an investigation was launched into the forbidden recruiting during a COVID 2021 dead period. Harbaugh led Michigan to its first national championship since 1977. The Lions and Giants have both been fined $200,000 after a brawl broke out between Giants rookie wide receiver Malik Nabers and Lions safety Kirby Joseph. This happened after a play where Daniel Jones targeted Nabers on a deep ball that was broken up, and a scuffle broke out soon after. There was reportedly multiple fights during this joint practice, which led to both teams being fined. Today in sports history. On this day in 1929, Babe Ruth ties the MLB record for consecutive games with a grand slam in a 13-1 win over the Athletics. In 1956, pitcher Satchel Paige wins a game in front of the largest minor league crowd in history, with 57,000 fans in attendance. The Marlins won this game 6-2 against the Columbus Jets. Have a good day, and remember, you're listening to Sports Byline USA News. I'm Ben Murphy.
If you're among the millions struggling with peripheral neuropathy, I ask you to listen up. Hi, this is Marty Terrell from Sports Overnight America here on Sports Byline Broadcast. As you heard me say, peripheral neuropathy, I've struggled with it. It's annoying. And if untreated, it can really cause some health problems. Now, the bottom line is I reached out to Innovative Wellness, Christy and Andrew Steiger in particular, at innovativewellness.center of Clive, Iowa. They're now gaining clients from all over the Midwest because shockwave therapy, which they prescribed for me, and I did it in a consistent fashion, I got appreciable, verifiable results. Life is better. InnovativeWellness.center. Peripheral neuropathy is very annoying and can be very, very serious if left untreated. Check it out. InnovativeWellness.center. Christy Steiger, Andrew Steiger, InnovativeWellness.center.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And wherever you might be across this great country of ours and around the world, I'm Ron Barr. We've got you on America's sports talk show, Sports Byline. We're going to be talking football with LaVon Kirkland and a little sports broadcasting with a legend in our field, Bob Wolf. I'll tell you more about him in just a second. But I want you to check out the award-winning Sports Byline USA website. We're particularly proud of it. You can find a lot of neat things there. Plus, you can get the lineup of all the programs that we have on the 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week Sports Byline Network. And if you happen to find yourself on an airline, you might check that little program guide that's in the pouch in the back of the seat in front of you, because we may be on your favorite airline. We're on U.S. Airways and other airlines, and I've had a lot of people say to me, I remember one time when we were on United Airlines, I had a friend of mine who was a coach, and he said to me, they went back east to play Duke University, and they got spanked badly. And he said to me, Ron, It's not only bad that we got beat by Duke so badly, he said, but I had to listen to you tell me all about it all the way home. So again, check that out. Sports Byline USA coming to you on phones, also the internet. You can get us as a podcast, so check it out at sportsbyline.com. LaVon Kirkland will kick things off, the former NFL linebacker who played 11 seasons. 9 of the 11 played with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then a season with the Seattle Seahawks, and also a season with the Philadelphia Eagles. The one thing about LaVon was he was very big for a linebacker because he was 6'1", and between 275 and 300 pounds. But he was able to balance that mass and that size off by being very impressive with his speed and his agility. Usually the first step that he took was always the right step, and he could really pound a running back into the ground. He started Super Bowl 30 for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He starred with 10 tackles and a sack. But, of course, as you know, Troy Aikman went on to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in that Super Bowl. And then Bob Wolf is going to be with us. Bob is a legend in sports broadcasting. He's written a book called Bob Wolf's Complete Guide to Sportscasting, So if you're one of those that have thought about getting into the sports broadcasting area, you may want to listen to what he has to say this hour. America's longest-running sportscaster, 9 decades in the business, enshrined in the baseball and the basketball halls of fame, and he has called almost every major sporting event that there has been in sports. So we're ready to crank it up. When we come back, we're talking a little football with LaVon Kirkland on Sports Byline.
School is almost here, and if there's two things I can count on, it's my kids needing new outfits because they grow like weeds, and Kohl's stocking their favorite styles. With the back-to-school customer appreciation event going on, I scored 30% off tees, jeans, sneakers, and more when I shopped with a Kohl's card. No card? No problem. Rewards members save 20%, and everyone else saves 15%, plus earn Kohl's cash. When it comes to back-to-school, you gotta go back to Kohl's. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Offer ends August 11th. Please store or Kohl's.com for details.
Lowe's is here for you after the storm. From safety products and cleanup supplies, Lowe's is fully stocked with essentials. Now through September 11th, get 12-month special financing on an in-store purchase of $299 or more with your MyLowe's Rewards credit card in select stores only. Lowe's knows recovery. Lowe's knows community. Subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats too. Your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. And look at you, hands perfectly placed on the wheel. Not like the driver to the right of you who's really going after that drum solo. Save with DriveWise and the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state. Subject to terms and conditions, rating factors and savings vary, and in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family-owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built, providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below-grade lightweight geofoam. Fill, Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
LaVon Kirkland joins us on Sports Byline, the former NFL linebacker who played 11 years in the NFL, the first 9 with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then finished up with the Seattle Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles. And let me tell you, this guy was big for a linebacker, 6'1", 275 to 300 pounds, but he had great speed and agility. When we talk about the National Football League, I think about you playing in Super Bowl 30 and the great game you had against Dallas, even though you guys lost that game. Does it bring back a lot of memories to you?
Oh yeah, every single time. I mean, it's amazing how many times you know, a day that I think about it. I don't think I ever go without thinking about it. You know, especially around this time, you kind of reminisce about the time you were there. Although we lost, it was a great experience for us. But you know, I'm a guy from a real small town, and for me to do that was a big accomplishment. And you know, I just felt really blessed.
You know, it's one thing to lose a ball game. It's another thing to lose a game the way you did with Neil O'Donnell throwing 2 interceptions. And, of course, one player doesn't necessarily lose the game for you. But under those circumstances, is it a little bit maddening for you when you think back on it, LaVon?
Well, you know, I thought back on it, and, you know, we had a really a big-time opportunity to beat Dallas. Nobody really gave us a shot to beat those guys. And we kind of start off the season 3-4. And I think it would have been an incredible story if this to be one or two plays away was disheartening. You know, I really felt in my heart we were going to beat those guys, you know. And, you know, you come up short and you're just like, man. And then, you know, although, you know, personally I played probably one of my better games, you know, I just wanted to come up and win that championship. It would have been really good.
One of the things that I think about you and the Pittsburgh Steelers is that there are teams that have come along that have been championship teams, and I think of the San Francisco 49ers. But when you say the 49ers, LeVon, you think of Joe Montana and the offense and the wide receivers. When you think of the Dallas Cowboys, you think of Troy Aikman and their offense as well. But when you talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, it always begins with the defense, and that is something that has prevailed over a number of decades. What is it in the philosophy and the makeup of the Pittsburgh Steelers over that period of time that has made them so dominant, so steady, so consistent defensively?
Well, I think it goes beyond the football team. I think it's a community thing where the community really, the whole city really embraces the defense. You know, they kind of see themselves as being kind of like defenders, you know, really hardworking people, blue-collar people, tough people, and our defense has been that way. And really, also, it's kind of like when you're a Steeler, you're always a Steeler. And, you know, especially being a part of the linebacker tradition that we've had there, it's like you become a part of it, you know. And it's kind of like it's passed down from one guy to the next guy, and that's just how it goes. So it's really a big community, not only of just the city, but also the players. You know, I know some guys in the 70s, the 80s, I mean, who are playing right now. So everybody kind of knows everybody. So it's kind of special in that way.
I know exactly what you're talking about. The lineage is what you're saying about the Pittsburgh defense and everything. And the other thing I thought about as you were saying that was that if you take a look at the mentality of a linebacker in professional football, I've always said this, LeVon, that each position has its own personality. Wide receivers are a certain type, quarterbacks, running backs. But can you help me understand the kind of the makeup, the personality, the characteristics of the linebacker in professional football?
Well, I tell you what, I always call the linebackers as really good soldiers. You know, guys who are committed to the team, they're committed to doing things right, and you know, they do what they have to do. You know, and I kind of look at linebackers in that way. They're just kind of quiet assassins. You know, we go out there, we do our job, we're the heartbeat of the defense, and we're good soldiers. You know, we're gonna do what the general asks us to do. And, you know, if that can run through a wall, we'll do that. You know, if it's a suicide mission, we'll do that also. So I always look at us as being really good soldiers, guys who will give it up for the rest of the team.
The other thing, too, is you belied the image of a linebacker. I mentioned earlier that you were large for your size, but yet you were agile and you had the speed. Tell me a little bit of how you developed that, because it goes against the size image that most people would have.
Well, it definitely did. You know, you have to kind of be careful what you ask for. You know, I always wanted to be a player that was going to be remembered, but, you know, I was probably remembered more so for my unique size and then just the, just the way I played the position, being as fast and as quick as I was. But, you know, when I think of myself, I think of a guy who was probably an athlete that's screaming to come out of a big man. You know, it's, you know, the size just kind of gradually came on. It was, you know, I wasn't a big kid, a high school kid or even a college kid. I wasn't really that big. And early on in my career, I was a nice size linebacker, but, you know, just to be around that 270, 300 pound thing, you know, it just kind of came on. And the reason why I kind of added that weight is because I played a buck linebacker, and, you know, we had to take on guards and tackles, and I felt like I had to be bigger and stronger to do that. And, you know, what held up was the athletic ability, you know, the quickness and being able to run. That kind of stuff really stuck with me as I got bigger. So I was a guy who was able to carry a good bit of weight and still look okay and still run okay, too. So, you know, it's just a unique thing. I mean, people would they would just look at me, some of the players, when I was on the, you know, warming up, and they would just shake their head, and they're just like, man, that's not fair for you to be that big and that fast and all that stuff. It was just that it was a unique thing, and it's not that easy to explain. It was just, I was just me. It's just hard to find, and I imagine that would be a, you know, you probably can't find too many 300-pound linebackers that probably did what I did as far as a player's concerned.
One of the things that I've always liked about the outstanding teams, the winning organizations, is that there's a mentoring system that quietly goes on in the locker room when a talented player like yourself comes in. There's always that veteran player that comes up and says, hey, rookie, hey, second-year player, and takes them under their wing. Who was that for LeVon Kirkland?
No, you know, Kevin Green and Jerry Slotsky was two of the guys that I looked at and really helped me as far as the linebacker position. You know, I never played inside backer until I got to Pittsburgh. I never played the inside. I've always played outside linebacker or defensive end. So the position itself was really new to me, and I had to kind of learn it all, you know, learn. And they, you know, at least give me a year. And Jerry O would just take me to the side. And Kevin Green really helped me learn how to watch film. Jerry O was more of the guy that was hands-on, kind of really taught me how to play the position. And, you know, I also look at guys like Greg Lloyd, who really showed me the mentality of how, what it takes to play at a high level, and especially in the NFL. So, you know, there was a lot of guys. You know, I also look at Monty Dawson, just the way he carried himself. So there's a bunch of guys, but I really have to say Kevin Green and Jerry O were the guys who really got me through this whole process.
We only have a couple minutes left, but you're doing something that's important. You graduated from Clemson with your degree, and you got a sociology degree, but you're working with kids, trying to get the student-athletes at high school, educating them on the recruiting system with the NCSA. Tell me a little bit about what you're trying to do there.
Okay, yeah, it's a wonderful organization, National Scouting Collegiate Association. And what it does is basically we help families become proactive in the recruiting process. I think a lot of times families are very, they're not educated about the recruiting process, and they feel like my kid is left out. And we try to give them pointers to help them get in touch with coaches, be proactive, have that knowledge base so they can go out there and they can help their kid get a scholarship. A lot of times, you know, most guys on your team are not going to be four-star guys or five-star guys, but there are guys out there who can actually go out there and play football. There's a lot of schools out there, you know. So what we try to do is we try to help them understand that whole process and let them see that there's a whole world out there. There's a lot of schools out there. It doesn't have to be the Florida States or the Clemsons or anything like that. You can go out there and find a program that wants you, that wants to pay for your tuition, and you go out there and play ball. So basically we're trying to help families not only save money, but really probably try to help kids play the game on the next level and probably enlighten their lives a whole lot. You know, I think collegiate sports does that, and we just give them a way of advancing their career for, you know, beyond high school. So I think it's really neat. We've helped a whole lot of kids, and hopefully what we do is continue to help a whole lot more.
LeVon, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to spend some time to talk about your career. I enjoyed watching you play because you played with such passion, and you always made the game look like fun, and yet I know how physical it is. So thank you very much for joining us here on Sports Byline.
Oh, man, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
LeVon Kirkland, former NFL linebacker, 11 seasons in the league, the first nine, of course, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was an All-American down at Clemson, and then drafted by the Steelers, and then he went on and finished his career the last 2 years, a year with the Seattle Seahawks and a year with the Philadelphia Eagles. But I got to tell you, this guy was big, almost 300 pounds, 6'1", but boy, could he move. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now
now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
We've talked many times about icons in various sports, but when it comes to sports broadcasting, there are only a handful of great broadcasting icons. And the gentleman joining me now is certainly one of those icons. His name is Bob Wolf, and he has been broadcasting for some 72 years. 72 years. Think about that. He first began as a professional sportscaster back in 1939 at WDNC in Durham, North Carolina, while he was at Duke University. And he has come out with a wonderful book, and it's got a great title, too. Bob Wolf's Complete Guide to Sportscasting, How to Make It in Sportscasting with or Without Talent. Bob, tell me a little bit about why you decided to write this book at this time.
Well, I think that most people listen to sportscasts in various forms. It could be the talk show, it could be commentaries, play-by-play, pre- and post-game shows, and really sort of wonder, how do you get to be a sportscaster? How is this done? And I felt that there are enough revelations in telling my story of how I did it and how others do it that I think it's an intriguing art form that people know very little about. And that sort of tempted me to put my thoughts down on paper and perhaps help the guys starting out, and those guys who are in it go to the next step up.
You have in your title, How to Make It in Sportscasting with or Without Talent. Now, I understand the with. Tell me a little bit about what you're talking about without talent.
Well, let me be specific about that. I'll take New York City instead of San Francisco right now, okay? In New York, one of the most popular broadcasters of all time was Phil Rizzuto. And Phil did the games, didn't pay much attention to anything except when home runs came about. He just keeps saying, holy cow, holy cow, holy cow, and got by with that as a very popular broadcaster. Well, that was just Phil's exuberance coming out. I'm not sure it took any talent to do that, but people love what he did. On the other hand, there are some people who are wordsmiths, some people who are good at opinions, some people are good at everything else. But you don't have to go to school for this. You just have to, it's part of what you do as a human being. I call it appeal. A lot of people have appeal. whether they're good or bad or indifferent, whether they know the sport or not.
Let's go back to the beginning, 1939. Take me back there and how you broke into the business.
Well, I've been very, very lucky, and I think luck is very much a part of our business. I'm lucky because I broke my ankle playing baseball at Duke. And with a broken ankle, the CBS radio station that did the Duke games, North Carolina, Wake Forest, they did college games every day. They said, hey, sit up and help our crew talk about your teammates and so forth. So they put me on, and pretty soon I was in a cast just sitting on the sidelines. Pretty soon they kept saying, you want to do a little play-by-play? I said, sure. And before it was over, I became their lead broadcaster. The regular broadcaster left, and they said, hey, stay with us, do all the other sports. And when it came to basketball season, I was doing a game every night in some place in the state. Then I added, I led the campus band and sang with it. I was booked all over the state doing that, and I gave up playing the baseball because I had a big business going as a broadcaster and entertainer.
You know what's interesting? When you started, and especially doing play-by-play back at that time, I mean, you were the eyes, you were the ears, you were the person who had to communicate exactly what was going on. And I really believe because you have that foundation in doing radio play-by-play first and foremost, that that made you a better sportscaster in the long run, not only on television, which you've done an awful lot of, but also the various events that you have broadcast, both in sports and out of sports, because, I mean, you've been associated with Madison Square Garden for a long time, Melrose Games for 32 years, you did the National Horse Show for 32 years, the Westminster Kennel Club Show for 33 years. Am I correct in that observation, that foundation that you got doing radio is the thing that gave you longevity and also success?
Well, you're correct. You have great perception on that. Here's what happened. In the early days of radio, people were hired strictly on one thing, the sound of their voice. They had to do the commercials and so forth, and they were describers. Mel Allen, for example, was a great voice. He described the games, Ted Hughes and on. But then eventually they wanted something just a little more than description. Mel Allen didn't do much about analysis or strategy, nor did Red Barber. For example, the only strategy Red Barber used to talk about was, is it a hit and run or a run and hit? Mel Allen gave the infield fly rule once or two times every year, and that was his strategy. But they were loved because the people who listen to radio filled in their own strategy and things in their own mind what was happening. But they were great describers. Then in came the influx of the former baseball players and the managers and the coaches. They added inside observations, what happens in the dugout, what happens in the pitching mound, etc. Now we've gone to the third stage in broadcasting. Now they want people who are different because difference attracts an audience, and an audience brings in sponsors. So now we have guys with unusual voices, strong opinions, weird judgments. As long as they're different, they add, and they now bring a third person whose job is just to do that, attract an audience by doing something like Howard Cosell. He made his mark on his surly disposition. So is this talent, or is it just the person?
What about the mileposts along the way in sports broadcasting? When you look back over the seven-plus decades that you've been doing broadcasting, what were the important mileposts in this profession?
Milestones as far as importance of the games or milestones in what happened. The biggest milestone in the financing of the games and sports, pro sports is being financed, is television. Without the television money that came in where the sponsor could reach people at huge distances across the country and the sponsors paid for people, all of a sudden that money came in, and that's why we have the million-dollar ball players, the big suites, and all the rest of the stuff. Television is the key to the change in everything. And for television, by the way, you don't have to be a journalist. You don't have to know words too well. All you have to do is get excited, bring emotion, enhance the game by what observations you make. And if it's a home run, you can just say, instead of on radio, you'd say, there's a long drive going to left field. Smith, the left fielder, is going back up against the wall. Leaf can't get it. Home run! On TV, you say, wow, what a shot.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about describing it. You can see it.
Yeah, I agree with you about television certainly being one of the milestones of sports broadcasting history. The other one I would think probably happened in 1980, did it not, with the creation of ESPN?
Well, that has made a remarkable effect and is still being made today. I'll tell you where it's being made. You'll notice that on the guys who did the nightly sports shows, 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, those guys are now being phased out of the business. All top-notch sportscasters, but usually now they do scores and highlights. There's no room for opinions or stuff. So they say, why are we paying all these guys big money to come on and just do 2 or 3 minutes of scores and highlights when you can get it on SportsCenter for half an hour or more day after day? Other shows have every 20 minutes they have the sports scores on. So those guys are being sort of jettisoned out of their jobs. And, yes, the network stuff like the sports centers are taking over.
Yeah, I would say television, then ESPN, and then the latest milestone in my mind, Bob, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, is the advent of the Internet. I think that that has changed sports a great deal as well.
Oh, well, it used to be that I would work hours and hours to prepare every sport that I did. I was lucky on this because I had the opportunity to do the World Series, the NBA championships, the National Football League championship, the Stanley Cup playoffs. You mentioned the horse show and the dog show. You name it, I did it. You mentioned the beginning, very flattering. You said I was an icon. No, I was really an icon. They said, can you do it? Of course I can do it. So I ventured on them all, and they hired me. But there's no question that of the changes being made, and the networks have made a big part of that possible.
Bob Wolf is with us. And Bob, we only have a minute left before we have to break. But when you take a look at all that you've accomplished, what is it that impresses you the most about what you've been able to do?
I think I'm encouraged by the fact that I've just tried to be me. I'm nothing special. People don't imitate me. People think that I'm a nice guy to get along with. Whether they're right or wrong, I don't know. But the point is, I think you can just be one's natural self, and that in itself is a novelty, so I'm accepted, and I'm very grateful for that.
Are you also proud of the fact that you've been able to exist in both the broadcast, meaning radio, as well as the television industry?
Yes. Well, I started out in radio, but I became the first TV announcer in Washington. On from there, I became like a pioneer. First, on football, I became the first game of the week TV announcer for the colleges and the first game of the week TV guy for the football guys. But I'm proud of the fact that I can go from sport to sport, and I put emotion into what I do, and I think emotion is what counts if you do play-by-play.
Bob Wolf has joined us on Sports Byline, and in the next segment, we're going to talk about the young sportscaster or the person that has an interest in this profession, because his book is something that will help you out. It's called Bob Wolf's Complete Guide to Sportscasting, How to Make It in Sportscasting with or Without Talent. And I will tell you that in the early part of my career, Bob and the type of broadcaster he was kind of thrown up to me. There were a lot of people who were advisors and said, well, you got to be more like Bob Wolf. And I think Bob would be the first to tell you got to be like yourself. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you can easily find coverage options that fit your budget. If only it was that easy to name your baby.
How about Jaden?
No.
Okay. Michael?
Went to middle school with a glue-eating Michael.
Sebastian?
Dated one in college.
How about Damien?
Vampire name.
All right. Greg?
Not feeling it.
Okay. No worries. Jeffrey?
Oh, love that one.
Wait, really?
No.
Find coverage options that fit your budget with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
The new John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul. All in a single day. because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
Guess what, people? Wendy's has new saucy nugs. You heard me. Wendy's nugs now come in 7 saucy flavors. Buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, spicy ghost pepper. You can literally hear your taste buds after every bite. I'm serious. Listen to mine. Okay, that's just me playing with sound effects, but you got the idea. For a whole new way to nug, gotta be Wendy's.
Now participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
Power comes in many forms. The beloved power nap, the enviable power couple, the celebrated power hitter. But around here, Kohl's Cash is power. And if you earned it recently, it's time for your power trip to Kohl's. Will you redeem your Kohl's Cash on those Adidas sneakers you've been eyeing? Will you flex at the block party with that new ice cream maker? Will you replace your kids' favorite shorts because they outgrew them again? However you redeem your Kohl's Cash before it expires, more power to you. Not valid on Sephora at Kohl's. Additional exclusions may apply.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Bob Wolf has joined us on Sports Byline. Again, the name of his book is Bob Wolf's Complete Guide to Sportscasting, How to Make It in Sportscasting with or Without Talent. Before the break, I kind of alluded to the fact that there were those people who were consultants who would say to me when I was out in Seattle, well, you know, you should be more like Bob Wolf. And I made the comment before we broke that you really have to be yourself. Am I correct in that, Bob?
Oh, 100% on that. Everybody is different, no matter what happens. I never imitated anybody. I just tried to do what I could do. And I think everybody is unique by being different. So sameness is not something I go for. And particularly if you're applying for a job in sportscasting, if you have an audition tape that sounds like everybody else is doing it, you don't stand out. With an audition tape, if that's what is called for, you got to do something that's different. It could be an opinion. It could be a sound of your voice. It could be the way that you give the scores in a unique way, whatever, a little humor, an unusual interview. As long as it stands out, you're in the running. But sameness is what we get across the country.
Let me get into this a little bit, because I think both of us have been in the business long enough that when we talk to somebody who's young and says, you know, I'd like to be in broadcasting, I'd like to be in sports, we can almost tell by talking to them whether they have those type of instincts, whether they have that drive and that imagination to be able to be in the business. I know I was giving a speech at the University of Nebraska, and it was a broadcasting class there, and I asked everybody, I said, how many of you want to be broadcasters? And, well, you know, the hands popped right up. But I said, how many of you want to be communicators? And they had a puzzled look on their face. Tell them what I'm talking about, the difference between being a broadcaster and being a communicator, Bob.
Well, Ron, you ought to write your own book, because the things that you're saying right now are things that I believe and I've tried to put into my book as well. But basically, you mentioned right away you're listening to them. Guy calls up to me, wants to be a sportscaster. I'm listening to him on the telephone for a minute and a half, and I can tell by the way he speaks to me whether he can be a broadcaster or not. I can tell, does he have enthusiasm? Does he use words well? Does he have a sound that's appealing? Does he have a manner that I like? Right away. The people that I've hired throughout the years, I think I've hired about, well, let me just get to the, you watch the NCAA basketball games, right?
Sure.
Okay. Well, Bill Raftery, who was a paramount figure on CBS doing The Color, I gave Bill his first TV job. How did I spot Bill? Because when I was doing the NIT, Bill was the player for LaSalle and a great, great player. And we used to chat all the time before the game as I made my player notes. and I always gravitated to Bill because he had a twinkle in his eye, a sense of humor. He was just fun to talk with. So I said, Bill, when you graduate, if you want a job, come with me. I'll use you as my assistant. And I gradually broke him in to be on the air. He's still going strong, doing this for many decades now. So he was on the NCAA. A girl named Tracy Wolfson was the color commentator on the sidelines, a woman. And Tracy came to me. I gave her a first TV job. Why? Because she wrote me a cover letter that was so amusing, I hired her on a creativity. Never heard her speak. I thought, I need somebody like that around me. She replaced a girl named Sam Ryan, whom I gave her first TV job to. On and on. No cases did they do anything more except appeal to me as a human being. And I figure if they appeal to me, an average guy, they're going to appeal to everybody in the audience. And that's how I hired people. So is that a talent? No. It means it's something in the person that makes them sound as if they're appealing. And that's what we do on the air, you and I both.
Let me ask you about the value of colleges who have broadcasting curriculum and offer degrees in it. I think most people know that a lot of great names have come out of the broadcasting college up there at Syracuse University. And while I believe in college for some professions, I also have found by the hiring of our interns in Sports Byline that I've had a lot of them say, I don't want to go back to college. And I'll say, your parents will kill me if you don't go back, because they're usually a junior going into the senior year. And what I was talking about is the fact that they tend to learn more in a real-life situation being in our operation than what they do in a practical situation, which is what they find in the college classroom. Talk to me about that a little bit, Bob.
Ron, speaking to you is like speaking in the mirror right now. You're asking me questions that I thoroughly believe you have the same feeling about. Basically, I always found that if I went to a newsroom of any broadcast TV or radio station, I asked there, how many people here took journalism courses and graduated with a journalism degree? If one stood up, that was a rarity. How'd they get it? On their own initiative, their own energy, and going out and getting the job. Once you get the job, people believe that you're good at it because you were on the air. You wouldn't have been hired. But basically, in the early days, to me, words were vital to doing a show. And I did a lot of reading. I concentrated on words and word use. And then I found on television, you don't need word use anymore because the picture tells the story. What you do need is emotion and or just a different way of speaking or the judgments that you have. So basically, I view my job now as part journalism and part entertainer. And the big thing is I'm an enhancer. Doesn't matter how you do it, I try to enhance the games as you try to enhance the shows. And that's where we are right now in the whole business.
Let me ask you about sports talk as a genre, and I've got some strong feelings about this as well. How do you feel about it as you listen to it across the country?
Well, basically, a lot of the youngsters coming along now listen to the guys on the air. And you'll notice that on most of the television shows, when they play the highlights before the game, just leading into the broadcast, they always use the radio highlights because the radio highlights have more emotion in them than the TV highlights. On the TV highlights, a little trick that I had, which I'm sure they don't teach in any television course, I made sure it was the last minute of the game or the last seconds of anything going on that I did a radio play-by-play because I knew that the moment the game was over, the announcer or the director would tell me in my ear, he'd say, keep quiet now, we've got the crowd roar, the crowd reaction, etc. So I didn't have the fun of saying, what a game, and go over the, I had to do that before the game ended and give the final score quickly because I felt that made the game more exciting to the viewers or listeners and certainly would be on the television and radio highlight tapes. But basically, the youngsters try to emulate this. The young guys growing up now try to hook it up as much as they can. They sound hysterical on a lot of their calls. They look like they're having, they're going into fits of trying to express themselves, strained voices. It's just, it isn't good radio where people laugh at them instead of admire them. So I think a lot of them are trying to think that's the way you do it. No, the guys who are the more calm guys that only get excited what it's worth getting excited about. The fellows like Bob Costas, Jim Nantz, people like that, they're the ones who keep surviving. The others don't.
Well, let me talk about sports talk radio because, I mean, that's what I'm concerned about. I have a friend of mine that was a head coach at a major college, and then he took an NBA job as the head coach as well, lasted a couple of seasons and got fired. But I remember him telling me when he was at the university, he said that even if his job was not in jeopardy, he said all you have to do is have some radio sports talk show host say, well, maybe they ought to make a change, and it kind of takes on a life of its own. How credible, and are they doing damage to credibility, some of the sports talk radio hosts around the country, by just throwing something out there? Because I think you know as well as I do, Bob, that a lot of people will just assume that what they hear is fact.
Sports talk radio, I think, is a major development in communication because it's based on callers coming in, and it's based on opinions. And the people who do it the best, in my mind, are the guys who are the most prepared. And preparation is difficult because some guys are on the air for four, five, 5.5 hours at a time, and they have to live normal lives. When do they watch games? When do they read the papers? When do they prepare? So they're making opinions, but they're cramming in as much preparation as they can. But the guys who succeed the most are the guys whose opinions you respect. I'm listening to you just ask questions, and you have one great thing that I think every guy has to have to be a sport talk show host or to be a broadcaster. Curiosity. If you have curiosity, you ask questions. When I do interviews, and I've done them all my life, I never use notes. I just ask things that I'm curious about because I think other people are too. So there are good talk show hosts, there are poor ones. But a lot of them don't get beyond where they happen to be in, as far as success goes. But the good ones do keep developing, and people have trust in them and faith in them, and they become really their electronic companions for life.
Yeah, the other thing that I've always said to people when it comes to sports talk hosting is that you also have to listen, because I don't think enough of our young talent listens to the people that they're interviewing so that they may have a question off of it. The thing that bothers me the most about it, Bob, is that I was on my way to Notre Dame to do a ball game there, a Notre Dame game, and I was coming out of Chicago, and I listened to two guys on the air who said something that I knew was patently untrue. Now, the only reason they said it was to rile the audience and to create phone calls. And to me, that really, really bothers me. And I'm very concerned that maybe that's the direction that we're moving in. And so, therefore, let me dovetail off of that and get your thoughts on this. Have we moved in sportscasting, not play-by-play, but generally, whether it be on television hosting a sports center type of show, or whether it be sports talk radio, have we moved beyond the line of credibility to more entertainment than being credible?
I'd say it's more to entertainment, but credibility is a major factor in holding jobs, because in most of the big cities, I'm sure your city, for example, they have TV and radio critics. If you start having people complain that he doesn't tell the truth, he's making bad calls, he uses poor judgment, people start reading about it, it hurts one's value as being the guy in charge of giving the opinions. And those are the guys that start reading about how poor they're doing. But there are very few other people who seem to notice it as far as positions of power go. Because what's taken place in the world is, in the newspapers that we have left, is that negativity is what they write about. And the same thing on TV and radio. The more different they are, the more biting they are in what they say, the worse they are in some respects, the more publicity they get. That's part of the unfathomable part of our job, is that you don't hear many positive stories about people who are really bright on the air.
We only have a couple minutes left, but do you also recommend in this book that if someone either does not have the inclination or maybe the talent to be able to be on the air, that they think about other jobs involved with sports broadcasting? As you know as well as I do, producers are golden to our profession.
I think producers are part of the gold of the business, and I've often wondered how a producer can let it be known how bright he is and how much they control the input of what goes on the air. Because unlike baseball or football or basketball players, they don't have statistics to prove it, nor do they have tapes to prove it at the same time as broadcasters do. It's part of I've always surrounded myself with people who, in my mind, think, you know, these guys are brighter than I am. So with me, with them around me, I can do no wrong. And that's been a big part of what I've done. I was the first to hire people to actually work with me because I thought they would add to what I do on the air. It was a great investment.
You have been associated with two of the most famous calls. They're legendary calls, the Don Larsen perfect World Series game and the Colts overtime NFL championship win over the New York Giants, called the greatest football game ever played. Did you anticipate the moments?
I didn't anticipate them, but I sure was lucky I got them. I was now doing, in the early days, a lot of TV and radio shows, but I wanted to get the World Series, and the Gillette people kept telling me, they were the sole sponsor, they kept telling me, one more big thing, Bob, and you're in. Well, the big thing was the All-Star Game in Washington, and they asked me to be one of the announcers because I was the Washington announcer of the baseball games. That year, I did the Larsen game, and then Gillette said, okay, you've made our team, so they brought me back in 58 and 61 to do the World Series as well, 56 World Series. NBC TV then signed me up to do the baseball game of the week, and from that point on, I was sort of on my way with Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, all the big events. But it takes luck. You got to be at the right place at the right time, and if the hirer doesn't hire you, doesn't matter how good you are, that's the key.
Congratulations on the book, and Bob, thank you very much for what you've done for our profession and also for your kindness over the years to me. Take care, my friend.
A great pleasure being with you. Let's do it again sometime.
Bob Wolf, America's longest-running sportscaster, now in his ninth decade in this business, started back in 1939, enshrined in the baseball and also the basketball halls of fame. And you might want to check out his book. It's called Bob Wolf's Complete Guide to Sportscasting, How to Make It in Sportscasting with or Without Talent. I'm Ron Barr. We continue on America's Sports Talk Show.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495.
That's 800-788-1495.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
That's going to wrap up this edition of Sports Byline as we talk a little NFL football with a big guy. He was a linebacker, but he was also very quick and agile. Lavon Kirkland with us as he played 9 of his 11 years in the National Football League with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he went to Super Bowl 30 for the Steelers, but came away empty-handed as far as a championship ring. And Bob Wolf was with us. Bob, one of the legends in sports broadcasting history. He has a book out. You might want to check it out, particularly if you aspire to be in this business. It's called Bob Wolf's Complete Guide to Sportscasting. And his historic calls include Don Larson's legendary perfect game in the 1956 World Series and also the 1958 NFL Championship game between the Giants and the Baltimore Colts. I'm Ron Barr. We'll be talking to you on America's Sports Talk Show.
Hi, I'm Jeff Rich, host of Sports Overnight America's Foul Territory. Stay up late with my wife, Jen, and I for a little bit of sports and a whole lot of snark. If it's out of play by day, it's on Foul Territory late. Listen weeknights at 10 Pacific right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.